We're live, pal. Welcome, everybody, to this soft open of the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. It's going to be very soft. Later, it'll get rock hard.
That's right. Thanks to Blue Chew.
We don't have a Blue Chew sponsorship, right, Kevin. Let's start with that shit.
We'll try.
I can add it to the list.
Yeah, they sponsor everybody.
We got a huge show tonight, though. Carl Fredericks is joining us, the Alpha Wolf, the Big Four from the LA Dojo. He joins us in about 15 minutes. Tony T-Donk, the Alpha Dog, the Alpha Shit,
Alpha person jerk.
Kevin, the more you talk about your theory, the more I believe it.
It's, dude, he hates guests, doesn't want to talk to people, barely wants to talk to us, hates them. The day got away from me. The day got away from me. Oh, his kid's like 27 years old. He's still helping him with tests. Like,
well, think he got to get into one of them fancy white people schools.
I thought he already did.
I think he's only like, he's not even in high school yet.
I don't listen. My parents stopped helping me with my homework. And like, well, because I stopped doing my homework. But that's neither here nor there. He hates guests. He hates guests that he's not 100% super familiar with, even more so. So it's just a perfect storm of the day got away from me, super busy, I'm short on time. I thought maybe he would have to leave early.
Now, you do understand the consequences of the words coming out of you. He might be listening, and he might come in a fucking maniac after we talk to Carl Fredericks. Are you prepared for Maniac Tony?
No, I'm not. This was probably a bad idea, but it just furthers my thesis statement.
Right, but is it a bad idea if it's true, Cat? Because you know what? The more, if we look at the trends.
Follow the trend.
Right? This is not the first time he's done this.
I know. When he sent the text, he's like, I want to try to figure out a good time to drop in. I had it on. I was like, 6:45, Tony. Like, I had it and I didn't hit send. I was like,
you should have. That would have been hysterical.
But I can never tell. Like, I don't know, like, when like jokes are funny or when they're just trolling. Like, I don't know. I don't know that limit.
So. I think it's all funny until somebody gets their butt feelings hurt.
Well, that's usually me, so that's why I don't start it.
Ah, you, it would have been great. What'd he say? I'm sorry. I said you should have been, you fucking dildo.
I did see that. That was great. Yeah. Great response. So you covered it. You covered us both.
Yeah. We got a giant show. We got Carl Fredericks, like I said. Tony's joining us. We got AEW Revolution, which happened last night. We got Impact Sacrifice Saturday night. Tony Khan brought Ring of Honor. Vince McMahon was on the Pat McAfee show. It's WrestleMania season. Kevin's got a top five list. We got pick updates. Hopefully you follow us on social media.
That's a stinker.
And you can see how we did. How the tables have turned, people. What an exciting time. And it's all next here. Oh, I forgot. See, Tony's not here. I have to do all this goofy shit now.
Yeah, see, this is what he does to us, Matt.
Well, what am I doing here? It's all next here on the Shining Wizards Podcast.
The following is a presentation of the Shining Wizards Network, broadcasting live on rantiumradio.com and available on all podcast platforms and at shiningwizards.com. Follow us on social media at Wizards Podcast. Check out our merchandise at merch.shiningwizards.com. Do your Amazon shopping at amazon.shiningwizards.com and become a Patreon supporter at patreon.com/wizardspodcast. As always, we thank you for your continued support. And now, enjoy the show.
All right, here, this is Headbanger Thrasher, one half of the Headbangers. That's right, the former WWE Tag Team Champ. And you're listening to the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. Don't miss it, and don't turn it.
it's Monday night, and you know what that means. Another episode of the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast, where, of course, it is wrestling talk.
And talk about wrestling, baby.
Kevin, I don't know if we talked about this on the show, but I just want to give you props because the hard line has it's brought you back to Kevin. It's Kevin in studio.
What's before, the hard line?
Yeah, when you plug in your router.
The old hardwire.
I know we talked about it off air, but I don't know if I've given you props on the show.
I mean, the wire really should get the props. I mean, the wire did it. I just bought it and plugged it in.
Hey, it's a game changer. It's like we're all in studio together.
I agree.
One day may still be a possibility.
And it's something that I never even thought of until you brought it to my attention, or you or Tony did. I forget, but Tony hates guests, so we're not talking about him.
Oh wow!
But yeah, I didn't know that it was a thing until it was mentioned to me. And then once it was mentioned, I was like, well, this should be a no brainer. I should probably get one of these. The only thing, it's insanely long. I got the 100-foot cable. I didn't need 100 feet of hard wire, if you will. Confused with live wire, but hard wire.
Ooh, live wire. Todd Pettengill.
Oh, that's right. Great vehicle. The only thing that sucked about live wire is that it replaced it was an addition. What's its name? Replaced Challenge.
Mania?
Livewire replaced Mania, I think. WWF Mania. And then something replaced Challenge. And it's going to kill me now. It was a Sunday show. It wasn't a Superstars or Saturday. Challenge was Sunday. And also All-American Wrestling was Saturday. But something replaced Wrestling Challenge, and it's going to kill me, Matt. Please help me. It was Slam.
No. Saturday Morning Slam?
No, it wasn't Saturday Morning Slam. It was is anyone watching?
I'm looking it up right now. You're good. Just
it wasn't Wrestling Challenge. It wasn't, I remember the logo clear as day. It was Sunday. It was a Sunday show. It was in like the mid-90s. It was Attitude Era. Oh.
Action Zone.
There it is. Yeah. So Hardwire is good. The cable's good. Livewire is great. Action Zone sucked. But yeah, it's working out good so far. It's only a minor inconvenience for the people I live with. So whatever.
Don't mind me if I seem distracted, Kevin. If you follow social media, AEW continues to release figures. Tons of figures were released this week.
I'm sorry, they released what?
Figures.
Okay.
Action figures.
Yes, it's spelt without a U when Matt says it.
They announced a ton of things.
I like this hot open.
They announced Unrivaled 9, 10, 11, 12, Unmatched 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, Special Ultimate Supremes, fucking GameStop exclusives, AEW Shop exclusives. So every hour I am checking Instagram to see if...
The drops are still going?
Well, okay, so like Saturday, they announced -1 and Brody special 2-pack, and it went on sale at 3:00. And at 3:07, it was fucking sold out.
Did you get one?
I didn't. I had to wait for them to reset it.
Oh.
And I eventually did. But like the GameStop exclusives went on sale yesterday morning, so I got those. The AEW shop exclusives are only limited to 3,000.
That's the Jericho, right?
There's a Jericho, there's a Moxley, and there's an Omega.
The mustache Omega?
I don't know, Kevin. I'm very...
Oh, I'm sorry. So what you're doing right now as we record this show is you are looking for releases to purchase these action figures.
Right. There's no, like, they didn't announce a time, and I commented on a major figure post, like, do you guys have any idea when this is coming on? And then some other account was like, maybe Monday. Just keep your eyes peeled. And I was like, well, that doesn't fucking help me. But I guess I'm going to spend all day Monday looking for these goddamn figures.
I would have texted my dear, good, close personal friends.
Well, you still can, Kevin. You still can. Because this is how I missed out on the Series 1 Cody Chase, because they put a limited amount on sale at Ringside Collectibles, like 8 o'clock on a Wednesday night. Wow.
Yeah, it's tough, man. The figure game is everything. Cards, everything is wild now, man. And people just want to get. They don't. It's FOMO. They just don't want to miss out on getting it, and then having to pay triple down the road. Why am I having a hard time finding the Facebook feed of this?
Why? I have no idea.
Is it out there? I want to share it.
It should be out there. Sharing out on the Facebook.
Why can't I find it? This is
I don't know.
But so what caught your eye so far out of the releases? I'll tell you, I'm actually kind of upset. Can I tell you why? Oh, there it is.
Yeah,
can I tell you why?
Please.
Because all right, so we have all these guys from the Dark Order. We got Johnny Hungy. We got, you know, Brody. We got Anna Jay. We got that's why I'm upset. Where's my Alex Reynolds and where's my Colt? Where are they?
That's a good question.
Where are they? If you're a Dark Order completist, and I know maybe they might not want to do it right away, but why not announce it? If they're not even in the plans.
It's a great question, Kevin. You got Owen Hart's coming though.
All right, that's cool. That's rad. That's really rad. Big Owen guy. If you guys first time listeners, big Owen Hart guy.
Yeah. Yeah. So. They're coming with like a Taz figure.
That figure stinks.
Not as bad as the Eddie Kingston figure.
What with the hair? The hair is the only thing I have a problem with.
Dude, the whole thing looks awful.
All right, so did they? I'm trying to think. Did they actually have? Yeah, they did. In the casings at the FanFest thing, right? So there wasn't just mock-ups. It was actually they actually had the physical figures.
Yeah.
Yeah, that Eddie Kingston's rough, and that Taz is even rougher. Like, there's nothing. Like, that's like. Like my butcher, like that's like the guy that works at the deli on the corner on Bloomfield Avenue. That's what that figure looks like. There's nothing to identify him as Taz other than what the packaging will be.
Brother. All right, let's bring in our guest.
Oh, I'm sorry. I did not. All right.
Oh, hey, how's it going, guys?
Well, how are you, sir?
How
are
we doing? Good, man.
What do we drink? A Monster, a Bang? What is it?
We got the pink ass Monster, whatever flavor Ultra Rosa is.
Is it any good?
It's pretty good. It's I don't know. It's kind of a lot, just a massive pink.
Yeah, I saw if you follow Carl on social media, you know, he had a little bit too much Jaeger the other day. So are you still recovering from that?
Friend, that was Saturday night. Yesterday it turned into a Sunday fun day as well. So it started at the sports bar. On campus, the old sports bar, but it was going to be breakfast burrito and a Bloody Mary and hopefully feel better for the rest of the day. And then it turned into day three of.
All right, Carl. Carl,
too much fun.
Carl, I can already tell that we are going to be best friends. Like, legit can already tell.
Oh, you like making bad decisions is what you're saying.
My whole
setting yourself up for doing a tough Mondays.
I'm doing a podcast in a basement.
Yeah, I'm also coming from the basement of a place, essentially. So my apartment here.
Yeah, my life is just one big giant bad decision. Let me ask you this though. Jaeger, got to question the Jaeger.
Man, like I said, it was. I was living in 2010, man. It was like college. Carl was out, and
okay.
I don't know if it was just maybe just no. I actually do like Jaeger. I think it's great.
All right, so let me ask you that. All right, if you own it. Own it.
Yeah, I enjoy it. I just, you know, I'm much less, I would like to think much less of a psychopath than I used to be 10 years ago. So it's fair, few and far between now, but this weekend it was not.
Do you dabble in the Jaeger bomb?
Red Bull. I don't like Red Bull.
All right, so you can use a Monster.
I don't like slamming energy drinks, to be honest. But you guys know what Tang Bangs are?
Tang, but that's got to be something new because I haven't bartended in like 10 years.
Mandarin, usually Mandarin Absolute vodka and OJ. That's like the easiest, most delicious bomb to take. Just orange juice and vodka.
As a shooter, wow.
Yeah.
That's all right. To us normal people, that's a screwdriver.
Yeah. No, you got to chug it though. You know, if you sip it, it's a screwdriver. I guess.
Beautiful. That's a great point. All right, so I guess we should talk about some wrestling, right?
I'm 40 years old. I don't know what a bang tang is. That could be something we're doing on TikTok. I don't fucking know. But more power to you.
Yeah, listen, if the day gets away from you and it ends up drinking a whole lot,
it's mimosas started flowing yesterday. That was another bad decision just because I love one can easily turn into bottomless mimosas on a Sunday afternoon.
We're going to get along fantastic.
Now, let me ask you this, because I saw you went to the basketball game, too. Is it college basketball? Because I'm going to the Big East tournament Thursday.
Oh, are you? Yeah. It's Mountain West, University of Nevada.
So is it that the college atmosphere? You're like, you know what? Let me do some Jaeger shots.
We went to the famous little college bar here in Reno. It was right across the street from the university. It's called The Wall. And I had my first time in there with a big group of friends from college. So probably 5 years at least. I hadn't been to a Nevada basketball game since 2016 until this year. I went to New Year's Day. So yeah, it was, everyone just kind of collectively decided we were going to time travel for the night and live like we were 20 again. But
God, I'm so jealous.
And I think that's why I had to keep it rolling on the third day, because then, you know, that hangover starts creeping up on you and to run for your life.
Well, I'm glad you made it tonight.
Yeah, we're thriving today, you know.
And you're out on the West Coast, so it's still 4 o'clock, so you could easily pull this into a 4 day bender.
let's hope I don't.
No, please don't, because I don't want to be I don't want to be the cause of that.
Will be the cause of that. I have no problem enabling other people to do stuff they don't want to do.
So we have the Alpha Wolf, Carl Fredericks, on the line with us at Carl Fredericks _ on Twitter and Instagram. LA Dojo, the Big Four, 2019 Young Lions Cup winner. Things were rolling for you. And then, of course, just like everybody else, the pandemic. And to New Japan's credit, they really did a wonderful job and kind of taking the LA Dojo and turning that situation into like a home for the US guys, the New Japan mm-hmm. guys, yourself and Clark and Alex. What's that whole experience like for you? Because it seems like you were on such a trajectory.
That's right.
I'm drinking margaritas out of a bottle right now. So
there we go.
Cause you seem like you had a rocket strapped to your back in Japan. Like they had you going through your Young Lion phase, you were teaming with Goto and the
Tag League,
Tag League. Like, you win the Young Lions Cup. It just seemed like all the dominoes were lining up. The New Japan Cup, like the G1, like, and then the stupid pandemic happens.
Yeah.
How have you dealt with this? Because clearly you've turned a negative into a positive in New Japan Strong, indicative of your match with Daniels from Saturday night, which was unbelievable.
Oh, thank you very much.
How have you been dealing with the whole situation?
Man, it's been a long process, you know. And like you said, I agree. I really felt like I was riding a good wave for those last. I think I was on every tour from the G1 tour up through Wrestle Kingdom that year. And January 2020, I was on every tour in Japan, and I was very comfortable because I was in there every night with the full roster, and I got to do tag league. That was huge for me. And I was feeling very ready, aside from the shoulder injury that I was rehabbing, trying to make that happen before the cup, which is probably, I'm sure, to an extent, a blessing in disguise as well, because it's still something that I've been dealing with to this day. So I'm sure that tour would have been nothing but opportunities for me to maybe hurt it in a more serious way. But yeah, man, I think the hardest parts have been just waiting, like 2020 before New Japan Strong really got going in the summer there, just feeling like everything rug was pulled out and I had, you know, kind of had nothing going on. And then it was, it just with the other guys, I'm to be completely honest with, you know, how it's been mentally, but like, the other guys have started, you know, since then they've graduated. Clark's won a tournament since, Alex did that challenge series. Alex has been having crazy matches on the show all last year. Clark worked his ass off on that show last year. I think he was genuinely one of the biggest workhorses because he was out there having, you know, singles matches. And at times it left me kind of like a, maybe like feel like I was like forgotten or at least not being looked at in the same light that I was coming, you know, pre-pandemic coming into 2020. But now, man, with the show rolling and all the amount of travel we have, you know, at the end of this month through April, we have Chicago coming up. We have a lot of stuff that I'm really excited for, big opportunities here. And it looks like things are starting to relax a little bit in Japan as far as mandates and things like that. So hopefully I'll be getting a goddamn visa here again soon. And then, and it's time to go back to work and hopefully be able to step right back up and, you know, go take all the stuff that I planned on taking when the shit hit the fan.
So being an integral part of the initial LA Dojo class of New Japan, what are your thoughts in general about New Japan's presence in the United States now and how far they've come just being a part of the American wrestling culture as opposed to strictly Japan?
It's crazy to see because I signed in July 2018. And it wasn't until, you know, July 2019 that I had gone to Japan and the whole New Japan of America. When we first started doing those tours, that we, you know, it was just labeled like New Japan of America. And we started touring. Now we have the Strong Show and this, you know, we have a strong locker room cast that we tour with. But it's really cool. I mean, we started empty arena, you know, and from in front of no one. And then our first show with people were wrestling at the goddamn Coliseum. And I'm a huge college football fan. So for me to be, you know, match one on that card, plus I got to do it with Alex. So it's for us, we very much taken on, you know, just in our own mindset and our own, like our work ethic and our attitude that we've taken upon ourselves to, like, we have to build the show. For a while there was, you know, a lot of the guys were stuck in Japan. It was a mix of like LA Dojo, or we had just some of the shows where it's LA Dojo Showcase. And when we do those shows, we, you know, we come in with the fire lit under our ass because we wanted, you know, we've been here since the start of this whole thing. And now it's been, you know, going on 4 years and we're all big boys now. And we care deeply about this company and the brand, especially the strong brand alone. But it feels like we're finally getting really, really big levels of momentum, especially with all the fun, you know, all the big stuff that we're going to be doing moving forward in the show. So it's exciting that it's finally happening as opposed to something we've always been thinking, you know, like this is the plan. This is what we're hoping for. Now we're in the midst of, you know, doing these tours. We got exciting stuff, the cross brand stuff. So it feels like we're doing good.
Yeah, and you kind of just led me to this question. How does the roster, the main roster of New Japan Strong in America, deal with the influx of talent coming in and out? Certain talents sticking around longer than others. Do you have any insight into how that works in terms of like maybe like the John Moxleys of the world or other talents that come in and out of there? How do you guys react to that?
For me, especially just I would say like the role I had on the card, especially in 2020, like when we're doing empty arena shows. And I remember I was actually, I was sick with COVID. So I missed a group of tapings when, you know, some of the surprises had come in. But my first thought was just good. Like any of those big names, anything new on the roster. One, just because it's exciting, you know, it's exciting for us, the wrestlers as well. Because, you know, I would like to wrestle everybody, you know, from everywhere. And then just knowing, you know, where, what my position at the time or now in the, you know, in the company is, my role, like, well, you know, it wasn't my role to be the, you know, the guy that Moxley's coming in doing business with, but I knew it was good for business, period. You know, right. So anytime we see one of those big names, absolutely excited, especially, you know, a few weeks ago, just by the opportunity of having guys like Christopher Daniels around. Like I wasn't a match I was scheduled to wrestle, but because we do have that on the roster and all these awesome fucking guys coming in and out, like there's those opportunities are going to come up. And so it was the first one I've gotten, and I'm excited for more.
Yeah. And if you haven't seen the latest episode, New Japan Strong Rivals 2022, Carl Fredrickson, Carl Fredericks, my apologies, takes on Christopher Daniels, opening match. New Japan Strong's an hour show. It's beautifully done. This match is so goddamn good. They go almost 12 minutes. It's so good. Seriously,
thanks, man. I appreciate it.
Watching this and you're not familiar with Carl Fredericks, you're not a New Japan fan, find it. Fucking DM me. I'll give you my seriously. It's such a great match.
I want
a show
that.
That's an hour that you guys did what you did, told such a great story, and I mean, you got the rest of Christopher Daniels, which is awesome. And
yeah.
You can still go. It's 2022. I mean, we're talking about Christopher Daniels and Carl Fredericks and Minoru Suzuki's coming to Chicago and Jay White's hanging around. And it's just such a great time to be a wrestling fan.
It's cool, man. It's exciting.
It's unbelievable. Look, I love New Japan.
It's funny, you know, the doors or whatever. I hate the corny little taglines for things. But, you know, expanded universe doors are open and it's just cool, man. It's exciting. And it leaves opportunity for endless fun things. You know, I'm like, the idea of, you know, being too exclusive and things like that, just knowing that there's more opportunities, more ideas, more creative things that can be done rather than like shutting yourself out from the world, you know, it's kind of surprising to me that things haven't been like this long before, but we're here now and it seems like everyone's enjoying it and the wrestlers seem like they're having fun. So I think we're at the start still of something really, really cool blooming in wrestling, you know, and then maybe even, I don't know. I imagine there's probably opportunity for certain guys to maybe even go more so straight freelance, you know, and just be some guy that works everywhere, you know, on all the big shows. But yeah, I think we're developing a new culture in pro wrestling, you know, everything about the way business is being done right now is different than it has been. It's awesome.
So with that being said, is there anywhere specifically you would like to see yourself in the future with this expanded universe or this whatever term you want to use? Is there any specific company that you would feel like you would fit in with?
I would like to think that I in a good way would stand out distinctly in any of the companies. To be honest, it was kind of scary for me when I took the leap and chose to go the New Japan route as opposed to the NXT route, because I didn't know if I was going to, you know, I had to learn a completely new style and I'm going to look way different, which is like a good thing, you know, for plenty of reasons, but also just, I didn't know if I was going to be able to adapt or make it work. But now, I mean, I can't see myself belonging to anything other than that blue canvas, like that. You know what I mean? Like, I think for somehow, like me personally in that blue canvas, like that's, I just, it's more than I ever thought it could be, I think. And I love it, but places like AEW, or I mean, even WWE, the rosters are so big and there's, you know, and everybody's so good. And, you know, and there's a lot of young guys that I came up with. I'm just even thinking about like being at WWE tryouts. Like I shared a car with Ricky Starks and Sammy Guevara at my last tryout, you know, and I wrestled guys at the tryout that are now signed, you know, doing stuff in Impact, wherever, things like that. So there's, for me, I'm finally, you know, and those guys like Sammy and Ricky have been fucking killing it on their shows, you know? So I think for me, like coming out of that, you know, when that run was kind of stopped abruptly and it felt like I had, you know, I had hopefully that, you know, that rocket feel, you know, there's like guys like that, they kept going. So for me, it's like watching pretty much like my whole generation go and, you know, I think that's honestly all I've been missing is just those big matches. And as soon as, you know, people start to, you see me wrestle that match with Christopher Daniels, if you don't know who I am, you at least know that I'm fucking good. You know, and you'll check out more from there. So I want to test myself against every single one of these young cats. It's you know, the man, like Sammy's rightfully so, the man in his own bubble over there. You know, same thing with Ricky. Like they've become big stars in the last couple of years. And that's what I want. You know, that's who I want to be. And that's who I see myself being.
You mentioned you started at the dojo in 2018, but you've been wrestling since 2015. And you mentioned NXT or New Japan, what was the whole process like for you? Because if you know anything about the Japanese dojos, and you've heard interviews that other people have given about being like, it's very, you know, they it's very old. Like they, I don't know if they did it in the LA dojo, but they try to break.
It's like being in the military, dog. Like that's like, it's, that was just knowing like that culture. Also, like I grew up, my dad was a police officer. I played organized sports, and luckily I had, growing up, I had amazing coaches, but they were fucking hard on us, bro. You know, but now, like as a student or a trainee, anything, like you can't hurt my feelings as a coach. Like you can't come down hard on me enough to take me out of my own game. And then I also just know not to take the coaching personally. So like when things were rough, and you know you're being screamed at, and you're on your third set of 100 line pushups, whatever, you know, doing something crazy again, you know, day six, and you just let it go in one ear and out the other, because that's just sport, you know. Like it's different here, and that's what I liked about it. It was, you know, the 3-day trial in LA was awfully hard, as opposed to, you know, both times I've been to Florida, it was hard, but much different, you know. Plus the invite, you know, just the whole nature of what type of pro wrestling it is obviously dictates that style. But being in there, like I felt like I was like, I had the nerves I would if I was going to like a big football camp in the summer. Like, all right, man, you got to play well here, because that's, you know, that's what you're doing. So if you want to be seen by one of these coaches, you got to go out and play well. And it was no different than that. And I guarantee you that, like, I, being in that environment, I performed and showed more in those sparring. And we were just wrestling, just 5 minutes sparring, no talking, just go wrestle with pretty much everyone at the camp. And like being in that true competitive nature, and I knew, I at least assumed that the whole reason that they were running camps was because they were trying to sign people if they opened a dojo. So, you know, I was going in there to get a job, and I had already been in the hiring process with WWE for like a full year, just about. Like February 2017 was the tryout, that the last tryout I had. September is when they called me, said, hey, we're gonna, you know, we're trying to bring you in, you do all the background checks, all that stuff. And then it was just like kind of like you play, you know, play it by ear, waiting for them to say like, yeah, come report to Florida, man, you know. And they were cool about, I mean, they called me every like 3 months or so, and you know, then kept in touch. I'm like, hey man, you know, maybe after Mania, maybe this. So they were cool, but a year had passed. So right. Then now it's summer 2018. And yeah, I just happened to be in LA for 4 days, which is very rare for me. It was hard for me to get down there that many days in a row. And I had two shows. And so I wrestled two shows and did 3 days of that camp. And also it was my 28th birthday that weekend. So I've spent every birthday since 2018 with Shibata-san or the boys in the dojo. Last year I worked on my birthday. We had a strong taping, you know, and it'll be mid G1 every year. So it's like, it's kind of neat that I'll be celebrating my birthday every year, you know, doing that hopefully. But yeah, it was just, I was waiting forever, and I knew I needed to make something happen. Cause I was, again, I started to feel stagnant, like, and on the indies, again, all the guys I came up with, Jungle Boy, Brody King, Jacob Fatu, Jake Atlas. So those guys were on the indies, thriving, huge. And I was like sitting in the spot knowing that I was, you know, I was on my way out, allegedly. So it was just like, oh, it's a matter of time. And then my shit will take off. Cool. You know, and then it just wasn't happening. So then I was like, I got to do something. Went to that camp, and it was easy knowing just the way I felt and how much I enjoyed what we were doing there. But you know, you meet a guy like Katsuyori Shibata, and he says, you know, he tells you on the spot, like, I want you on the field. I want you on the team here. Like, I looked at it as I could sit here. I could try and win a national title at Alabama, maybe sit here for 4 or 5 years and play the last season, or I can go somewhere else and start and win a national title myself, you know? So that's kind of the situation it felt like. Cause even then when, discussing things, you know, with WWE again, it was still like projected like another 6 months, like maybe in January. So like, I can't, like, guys, I can't do that. Like, I'm broke. I have no money. So starting to get to, you know, I'm broke. I'm depressed. Like I'm working, I'm trying real hard to make this shit happen. And I just, had to take the leap, but it was an easy leap to make because, you know, when a coach like that or any, you know, anyone in any of these companies says like, yeah, we want you here now. It's
right.
Got to do it. And it was the best thing that ever happened to me, man, because I've, the style of wrestling that I've been doing since 2018, everything I learned, it's made me a better man, you know, going through that system, you know, doing the laundry, loading the buses, earning your keep, but then they very much treat you like a family. And it's, you know, once you're in and you earn that, and I consider it like a really, really warm and just a good environment as far as like a work environment, you know, and I have my legitimate best friends in the world. Like, I got lucky with those guys because, I mean, I'm sure you know, so even some of my best friends here, like, I can't spend every day with you, you know. We were all attached to the hip, taking ass whoopings, fighting, you know, whipping each other's asses all day, just attached to the hip 24/7. If there's anything we had, any type of missions they had to send us on to do, young boy shit, like, we're doing that. We're doing it together, touring the world. It's been nonstop since pretty much until about a year ago when I moved and, you know, Clark finally moved out. Alex has graduated, so who knows, you know, he gets to go do his own thing now. But man, I got so lucky with those dudes because now, you know, I have my dream job and I just get to do it with my fucking homies every day.
Yeah.
My best friends.
So clearly, no regrets.
No, it was the best thing that ever happened to me. You know what I mean? Cause like just, or even just the stuff like I, you know, personally, you know, life happens, life shit happens. And like Clark's like my road wife, you know what I mean? Like the shit Clark's been there for me and Alex, you know, like the stuff that like I've had to come to them for help and they've always been right there. And like, it's just, I feel very fortunate to have that because it is like a team mentality. You know, it's like, it's a very team oriented feel here. And Shibata-san is legitimate. That's our dad. You know what I mean? Like, or like he's got, you know, a whole handful of little sons running around, you know, but it's very, very family oriented between like the handful of us. And it's something that I'm very, very grateful for. And it's not like I love having these conversations and talking about like just work in this sense, cause it helps me appreciate more like just how happy I really am with New Japan and with, you know, with my, I love the locker room. I love my friends over there. And it's a pretty sweet gig, man.
How hands-on was Shibata once you got into the dojo?
Oh man, he was, dude was working out next to us. He would do, I mean, maybe not the full workouts, but he'll do a few hundred squats and fucking no sell any type of just to be like, you know, like, yeah, motherfuckers, I'm the, like, this is why I'm in charge here. You know, he's not much of a, like a sit back coach, you know, very, very detailed with all of us. And then even just at a certain point started grooming us individually, like letting, you know, we all broke out of the Young Lion moveset fairly quick, or we're able to implement differently. Like I started doing my Stinger Splash and Spine Buster, you know, I would just do stuff in training, just throw it out there and like, yeah, that's good. He's like, that's going to make you stand out from the other boys. Like, and you know, our offenses are all so different. So he knows like the type of grappler Alex is now. They've been in there working on throwing people around, you know, like they got that huge heavy dummy in there. And I know they're working on that stuff. For me, you know, my moveset and all of my abilities, my attributes are more, I think, based just in my athleticism, you know.
All right, so remind me to go back to the Stinger Splash and Spine Buster stuff, because those are two clear as day WCW famous moves. But remind me to go back to that.
Oh, of course.
But right now, just off the top of my head, I mean, you had the tryout with NXT and WWE. Mm-hmm. You went to the dojo. Any similarities between the two at all, or is it night and day between one and the other?
I'd say, I mean, night and day, strictly because, especially like my time in the dojo, it was the three of us and Shibata-san. So three of us in there, you know, quiet dojo. There's, you know, they have an office in there, so there's some staff in and out. But just that massive gym to ourselves, you know, very, very quiet, very, it felt very like, and it's in like a warehouse district kind of, you know what I mean? So it was like, you know, drive across LA and going to that warehouse and walking in there, and you have the key, you know, and it's me and my two homies and Shibata-san. Like it felt like we're in here working to take over the world. Like no one even, and that too is like no one even knew the work we were doing in there, you know, and just me being, especially at the time at 28, I was much more full of piss and vinegar. I'm a lot more relaxed nowadays, but you know, I'd be like telling the boys, or just every day, like in there working, like these motherfuckers don't even know what we have here. Like these people, these fans, like they don't even know who we are yet. And I know, like I knew Alex was going to be everything that he's become and going to become. I knew Clark was fucking amazing. First guy I wrestled in the dojo at my tryout, you know? So between that and I imagine like with NXT, because they have so many people, I'm sure you do like promo classes and, you know, things like that. So their schedule probably seemed much different. I think like one of the coolest comparisons I've heard, and what I would say like the big difference is, or when I tell people here who might not be familiar with Japanese wrestling, is like we're like, you know, WWE is very much like Marvel and Disney, you know, and like we're Tarantino. Like we're in the same business, we're doing the same thing as that, but we're like ours is gritty, a little bit grittier, a little bit different, you know, and that's or even just the way it's cut, you know, like the way like our product looks different in Japan, you know, and like those zooms and, you know, like all those things. We're just, you know, we're just a little bit spicier, I would say.
So were you clearly a WCW fan growing up?
Yeah, man, I'm a Sting guy, dog. I fell in love with wrestling. I found, like, I started watching when I was about six, I think 1996. I got the Sting Unmasked VHS. I begged my parents to buy me this $20 VHS from like a gas station while we were on a road trip, and then I didn't even get to watch it for like a week. Finally got home. Oh man, I watched that like every single day, and it was cool because I hadn't, and it was just this really, you know, like 40-minute video, but it had like just a quick recap of his story arc becoming the Crow Sting. And of course, like that was so cool at that time. And then I loved the NWO, but I loved to, you know, unless they were wrestling Sting or Goldberg, you know, Sting or Goldberg, like, sorry guys. But yeah, man, it was WCW. I rode that ship until I ordered, you know, and saving up $50 when you're 10, like that's tough to do, you know, but I ordered Starrcade 2000. You know, I rode that shit down hard until it was done. But then, you know, but then I turn on an episode of Raw for the first time. You're like, I wouldn't even channel surf. Like, I just dead ass wouldn't even go back. And I think it was also because I remember like older kids. I was in like third grade and I'd have my WCW shirt. And I remember it was this kid that I knew fairly well, but he was like an eighth grader and I was in like third grade. And he came in to the elementary school and he was wearing remember the WWF Attitude shirt that had all the dudes on it. And I basically had like the WCW Nitro version shirt that just had a bunch of wrestlers on it. And I remember dude looked at me like I was sitting in my class. He's like, WCW? He's like, that's for old guys. And then like, I kind of had like a little light bulb moment as well too. And I was like, oh fuck.
Like, I would have punched him right in the I would have fucking knocked him out.
Oh man, yeah. So then it was like, no, I'm not even gonna watch WWF. Like I'm not channel surfing. And I just watched myself. But yeah, I think the first thing I saw on an episode of Raw was like, one, it was Kane. And Kane was one of my, you know, one of the coolest characters ever. But yeah, like X-Pac had like a fucking flamethrower. Turn it on. Like I think they like the DX bus got blown up that night. They set Kane on fire. It was crazy. You know, and at that time, I was watching, you know, I've been watching whatever WCW was doing for at the time that, you know, wasn't very good. And I didn't know that as a kid, but I just like felt that I wasn't liking it as much. But then, yeah, I started watching WWF and it was game over, bro. Like big rock guy, obviously. But yeah. And then WrestleMania 17, easily that's like, if it, ordering, saving that money, buying that pay-per-view, watching that with one of my best friend that lived down the street from me in fifth grade, like that was, I had to do it. Had to be a wrestler.
That's awesome.
So your Sting guy, did you happen to see him last night?
I didn't. I've gone through to watch clips because I saw everyone talking, you know, talking about him just like on Twitter. Fucking jumping off the table or jumping off the
he table. Went, like, he went like, up on that balcony.
Yeah.
And, my wife doesn't watch wrestling for shit, but she was in the living room. And I went, what the fuck is he doing? He's like 65.
Balls, man. That's all I can say.
Unbelievable shit.
Yeah,
unbelievable.
But it's cool to see because, I mean, I imagine like he's got to be having a fucking blast, right? I imagine he's having a ball doing all this stuff. And I'm sure being around a brand new young roster is, I mean, got to be awesome and fun for them, you know? So it's really cool to see them out there like it was 1996. It's crazy.
It's an unbelievable time. I've been to a bunch of AEW shows and it's like I got to see CM Punk and Sting and Kenny Omega and Bryan Danielson and John Wild, right? on the same show. Are you fucking serious?
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
That's so wild. I got this you probably can't see it, but I got this NWO Wolfpack Sting figure.
Oh my god, bro, that's one of my favorite. I just gave one of my nephews. He's 9 now, my youngest one, and he's big into wrestling right now. So I bought him a ring and I gave him about 32, 33 action figures, something like that. I think. I kept my Wolfpack Sting. I still have my Wolfpack Sting though. But yeah, finding that guy, is it the one you squeeze his legs and he does the Stinger Splash?
There's one of those.
What's the one in front? But it's in the package behind you. It's got the ropes. Is that like DDP or something?
Oh no, that's Brian Myers.
Oh, okay, because I remember those old. They had that little ring package around. I had Scott Hall singing again. WCW guy, dude.
So I have a question, Matt. Bear with me on this one, please. Do you have any? This might be personal. You don't have to answer it. Mm-hmm. You have a good relationship with Gabriel Kidd?
Yes, Gabe's one of my best friends in the world, man.
All right.
Known him since he was 20. I met him when he was in 2018, when he was like 21, 20, you know. And yeah, so three years now, he's like our little brother that got added to the group about a year or so after we were there. But yeah, he's been rocking with us for a few years now.
All right, so this is a question I have. I had this theory. I don't know if this is his real name or not, but I had this theory that he chose his name based on Justin Gabriel and Tyson Kidd. Can you confirm or deny that?
I would say most likely that it's safe to deny that that would be the case.
you just broke my heart.
He's also been wrestling for like 13 years.
Right, so right.
Gabe's career is twice as long as mine. So.
Well, because he was relatively new to me.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, once I heard his name, I was like, I love this guy.
Yeah.
And it's probably because he loved Justin Gabriel and Tyson Kidd, who I also love. So, that's why. Anyway, broke my heart.
we're talking with Carl Fredericks, the Alpha Wolf, part of the Big Four, New Japan Strong, New Japan Pro Wrestling. Let me ask you a question. You're in the dojo. You're doing your thing. Who comes to you guys for those commercials that air during the new
like the Gekiochi command?
Yes, those things are hysterical.
Oh man, they're so fun to take because we pretty much just come, like the office and Rock. Everyone knows Rock's like the guy in the office, but yeah, they come. It's just doing business for the company. They're like, yeah, you guys help us, film these commercials, and it turned into like a four part. We did like four of them. And they were all stupid, but very funny and fun. And then I had the easy part where I had the one line. That's pretty cool. So I had the easiest work of it all. But yeah, those were a blast. And now that they've had a few new ones or even like the card game commercials and stuff, now that I'm not in LA and I don't get to be around for all this stuff, like I miss it because it's just fun and silly. Plus you get like a little Amazon gift card, every time from the Sponge Company. And I just go blow some money on Amazon real quick. But
hey, that ain't so bad. I ask every single person that's ever worked in Japan.
Here we go.
We had Lance Archer on the show a couple of years ago. Have you ever eaten the raw horse meat?
Brother, that's the first thing we did when we went to Fukuoka. Or everywhere we go out, Shibata-san would ask, like, what do you guys want to try? We're like, and that was like one of our biggest things. Like, we'll try everything. We want whatever like the local stuff is. And he had a friend that has a restaurant. And goddamn, Palo was good. I'm not gonna lie. They had one part. I don't know if it might have been like trouble like translating what it was, but there's these little parts. It kind of seemed like a buttery consistency, like, but kind of flake, like a flaky strip that might have been like looked like dry butter almost, but apparently it's like some part of the scalp, something like that.
Oh,
and it was like, it tasted like the best piece of like bacon I've ever had, like something like that. And then the rest of the meat was just, yeah, it was just raw. And you kind of just eat it like sushi a little bit, you know, dip it in a sauce. And I don't know, man, it's super high in protein and it was delicious. Then the weirdest one I would say though, it was the next night we had raw chicken. Like they had like seared the outside. They had it cut up like a sushi roll kind of. And they had just like seared the outside a little bit. The inside was completely pink. And that was the one I was nervous about that one. Cause I was sitting there. Of course I'm sitting there with a hangover.
My man.
And I'm like, I'm looking and I'm doing the normal, like, I love that just the little balls of chicken. They put like three of them on stick, you know, order a bunch of those. So,
all right. So wait a second. Chicken's balls or chicken?
Chicken balls of chicken. Yeah. So okay. I was eating the chicken balls. And that one comes out and Shabbat Sun's like, yeah, check it out. And I look, I'm like, what is that? He's like, chicken. He's like, oh, it's like sushi. No problem. You know, I'm like, I look at Clark. I'm like, dog, this is how you die. Like this, you can't eat chicken like that. And sure enough, I had quite a bit, and then I just remember like texting my sister all the way, you know, in America, like, hey, I'll know soon if I die. I was like, don't mind me eating raw chicken, you know. I was like, well, I'm sure I'll know fairly soon if my stomach's gonna like it or not. But it actually didn't have any trouble with it, didn't make me sick, and I'm still alive somehow. But yeah, I'm trying to think, what other kind of wild stuff is there to try out there?
I mean, we don't know.
It's on my bucket list. I have to go to Japan.
Oh man, I can't wait to go back.
Is there been any indication as to when the possibilities of
it looks like things are starting to open up to where visas are going to be possible again. But no, like I have no concrete when, but it seems like things are moving that way now. So
how quickly would you expect, once this does happen and once it's solidified, it's happening, what would your expectations for the Strong brand and for New Japan, what would that be for you? Like what can you expect once it happens?
I would assume once things are really open and we're able to get stuff cracking, and then at that point, you know, we can finally use everybody on our roster to the fullest, most biggest, you know, utilize them the best way, like everybody. So that means, you know, finding like handful of us, especially the, you know, the whole, like pretty much, you know, a good chunk of the Gaijin, or any, you know, us new young guys haven't been there in 2 years. So, you know, it's going to be good for that show to have a mix of anyone on the Strong brand going over there. And then to be able to have, I'm assuming that means we could probably bring more Japanese guys over here, because we'll be filling their, you know, we'll be, rather than just only bringing some and taking from that brand, which is what we've kind of been doing every now and then when we get Koji or, you know, big Senpai that come through. But now it'll be probably an easier exchange for everybody.
Yeah. It's like a old school talent exchange, but between the same company.
Yeah, yeah. And I think it's been cool though too, because we, you know, we've definitely been able to, you know, it's being separate from each other has given us the opportunity to really build ourselves as a specific, our brand.
Right.
I can genuinely see, like, I would love to show up to Japan with whether it be just my boys or, you know, just big group of baby faces from Strong, you know what I mean? To come in there and, you know, it's sport. We do tournaments and we got, you know, so like I believe in our roster and our dudes and what we got going on. And I think that on our end too, it's going to be, you know, hopefully we're looking to move with initiative, you know, move with purpose. And when those gates open, come in and, you know, like, you know, just come to Japan and be like, yeah, this is what we've been working on over here. You know, like we've been working too. And now that we can all prove this, all this stuff, and, you know, start to have these matches and start to wrestle these dudes. So, you know, for me personally, like I said, that's the thing that I'm missing. That's what I've been lacking, and you know, all that's changing, and I'm really excited for all, you know.
Please, if I gotta watch another,
you know,
if I gotta watch another House of Torture match, I'm gonna throw my fucking TV down my driveway. Fucking Dick to go, that son of a bitch. He's fucking everywhere. Him and Evil those motherfuckers. I swear to God, I don't take wrestling seriously. I love it. But God damn it, when I sit down, I watched fucking night three to this afternoon New Japan Cup, fucking Evil and Taguchi. God damn it, if fucking not involved in it, what the fuck? God damn it! I hate the house.
It seems to be a fairly consistent consensus. With
pisses me off. And then they jumped Roma before his match, and then fucking God damn it! Yujiro right. Takahashi's coming down. They're hitting him with a chair. He's the fucking in the ring. They're beating up referees. Kevin Kelly and fucking Chris Charlton are having a coronary. Someone's got to stop this. Send in the New Japan strong people.
So Carl, you dropped a lot of you're obviously a huge sports fan, and you obviously, you know, dabble in the movies, mentioning the Tarantino versus Marvel kind of reference. Mm-hmm. What else do you do when you're not consumed by professional wrestling?
Drink.
Listen,
check
your DMs, bro.
I hop on Twitch. I'm a DJ and a producer. I just recently like got to check off another bucket list thing for me, but I produced my theme song. I produced Clark's theme song, and Clark's went over really people really like it. But now I also get paid to make music for the company. So like I've been, you know, I picked up a guitar when I was 16, and then, you know, by the time I was 19, I was in bands. You know, when I moved to college, and to be honest, that was one of the big reasons I quit playing college football. Cause I just wanted to be in a fucking band, man. Like I wanted to do music so bad. And then my entire college career is always something I was always doing some sort of music, something. I'll send it your way as well. But I produced a theme like Nevada football, like official theme one of the years. So we did like a full music video and all this stuff. I produced the beat. My buddy came to me. He was a rapper. They asked him to do it, but he needed a producer. So I made the whole beat, and then the band, like the marching band, was even playing the song. So like there was a whole football season where like the pack was coming out to my music, you know. So like I've been doing cool things like that. And then
some of those college marching bands are no joke.
Oh, it's such a cool environment, man. Yeah. Hearing those bands. And then when it was when I signed in 2018, and you mean pretty much you don't, you know, we didn't leave our house in LA. We're not really allowed to leave unless we're going to train or go get groceries, essentially. You know, we hadn't earned our outside status yet. So then just freed me up a bunch of time to start dabbling into dance music more, which is something I had been like working on. But now after just about 4 years of it, now I'm making full songs, and I've spent 2020 gave me the opportunity to, I've always wanted to learn how to DJ, and now I'm good at it. I do it probably like 4 to 6 hours a day, messing with some sort of music or mixing. I do like 7 hour streams on Twitch. I haven't streamed in a little over a month or so, but I spend a lot of time, but now it's also like something, it's part of my job. So I just get to make beats, and then I sit on my computer, make a bunch of noise all day, and then I take a break and I watch some wrestling and go, you know, it's just, it's good. It's fun, but,
absolutely.
Yeah. Pretty much drinking and playing music.
Oh, bro.
With the drinking though. Cause it's hard to listen to fucking house, you know, and especially when you're practicing. And the thing is like to learn how to mix and like do well in a set, like you have to let the songs play out. So it's also like, practicing takes 3 hours because that's what I would be doing in public, would play, you know, playing a whole thing. But yeah, sometimes like I need a beer, man. I need something. I need to do something to sip on while I'm sitting here.
I'm with you. Well, because I actually used to do that myself. But back in like when I was doing it, like it wasn't DJing. It was just sliding a fader from one CD to the next one. So like you're playing actual songs. You're not doing anything yourself. You're just just sliding a little thing over.
It's just cross painting.
Exactly. There, that's the term. That's science. There you go.
Yeah, man. I spend most of my day just making robot music or making music for New Japan now.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
If I was given the choice to make music or stand across the ring from Minoru Suzuki, I would make music. He fucking horrifies me. I watched that main event today, Shingo Takagi and Big Tom.
Man, that one was
bro. They beat the shit. They beat the shit out of each other. They beat the shit out of you guys. When you go over there, look, you've shared the ring. You've teamed.
Luckily, I was, I had some of the commentary guys afterwards, give me big compliments on it. But it was a tag league when Goto-san and I wrestled Yoshihashi and Ishii. I had, if you go watch that, go find Tag League 2019. And I had a lot of time in there with Ishii. And it was my first, by gritting my teeth, eating the elbows and the fucking chops to the throat and all that fun stuff. But it was a big challenge to go through that, get through that, stand in the pocket and thrive in that situation. And, from what I was told, it was great. And, I'm taking those ass whoopings from Suzuki a handful of times already, every time he comes out to the ring, anyways, you're young line as well. And I've, shared the ring with him a handful of times. Kenta beat the shit out of me in the New Japan Cup 2 years ago or a year ago, whatever. And it's what we do, it's that. So like when I was watching that Ishii match, the one you're talking about now, it was like, that's the stuff that gets my blood going. That's what I want. I see that. The Christopher Daniels match was fucking amazing for me, to be able to do there, stand in the ring. But I'm like, no, I want to sit here and fucking stand in the pocket and throw bows with him. I want to do that shit, So it's exciting to see that, there's that strong style fucking fighting spirit is still very much alive and well, sprinkled in with, some of the other stuff that you might not be as thrilled about that you expressed earlier.
It's just the house of torture. Everybody, look, it's a shame because I was all in on Evil when he fucking turned his back on LIJ and he won the IWGP. Mm-hmm. And then you put one of those guys is over. He doesn't need to be running around with dick to go. What's wrong with him? And the Bullet Club's falling apart.
Oh, Bullet Club is strong.
He kicked Gorilla's ass.
Those Family Feud growing pains they go through every year and a half, 2 years or so.
How exposed were you to the New Japan product or the Japanese product in general before you enlisted in the dojo?
I think when I first really started checking things out and like studying and like seeing like what the fuck is this? Was it 2016 when Jericho went over, had that first match? Maybe somewhere around there.
Did he start with Omega?
I think he did the Kenny match first.
Yeah, right? Because that was Kenny won, had just beaten maybe eight. Was it AJ or was it Tana? Whoever was the big star.
It was probably AJ because AJ probably had just left at that.
And then Chris Jericho's on the screen, I think.
Yeah.
Something like that. I could Matt would know better than me. I have no idea. But anyway, go ahead.
And obviously being a WCW guy, like a lot of times early on, because he had that, he was a heel, he had that top ponytail, and I loved watching the cruiserweights because as like a little kid, I was like, well, I don't look like fucking Goldberg. I was like, I always thought that I was going to be like a Rey Mysterio guy. Like, and I also was only like 5'4" as a freshman in high school. Like I'm a late bloomer, dog. I thought I was going to be short, and so, Jericho coming over obviously brought a ton of eyes, that's how I started, but just watching, and then seeing a Kenny Omega match for the first time, and then seeing him and Okada, I think it was later that year, is like how are these guys doing this? I've only ever seen WWE TNA, guys like Christopher Daniels, but when I was in middle school and discovered TNA, like I hadn't seen wrestling that was just so what the fuck is this? Like, what are the X Division at the time? It was insane. You'd never seen shit like that. And then just this, the Japanese style, what it's evolved into. And then what guys like Kenny and Okada do, it blew my mind. So I started watching more, but I still didn't understand. It was hard for me to study and not just see move, it was hard for me to understand what it was, because it's different genre, different storytelling. So it took me it took me having to become a part of the company and be immersed in it to understand it. But now, you know, I think that, like I said before, like this to me suits me, I think, way better than anything I was doing prior to. And that I think that I'm this version of me, and, you know, the things, you know, the direction I'm headed and where I've been here with New Japan has been the best combination to truly become the wrestler I wanted to become. And I think that if I would have stayed in America, that there's a lot of this edge, and I mean, even just this toughness, you know what I mean? Like, you either die in that ring with Suzuki and those guys, or, you know what I mean? You take that ass whipping and you fucking go do it again the next day. And I don't think that's like that grit that I, you know, I didn't have that before I came to New Japan, and before, you know, spending 6 days a week with two other guys beating the shit out of each other every day in the dojo, you know, it was awesome. But I didn't, yeah, it wasn't until, and even then, it was probably not until, you know, I did that 5.5 week G1 tour, which was a long tour, you know, my first time ever leaving the country too. And then not only that, but just like you're doing it as a young boy. So then again, like I said, you're up earlier, you know, you're doing all, you got all the young boy responsibilities before the show, after the show, doing the bus, all that stuff. But then we would have like these training sessions before the shows. And it was our first time coming in, our first time meeting the Japanese Lions. And like, none of us spoke. There was very much like if we were to let them outshine us in any noticeable way, about, you know, or yeah. When they're like, you watch Clark and Narita in those early turns, or early matches that we had, and they were just fucking shooting, man. The wrestling that they're doing is so, but they're not letting each other reverse. They're trying, you know, they went at it. And if we would have, you know, gotten our asses whipped in the ring, we would have went backstage and got our asses whipped again.
I was gonna ask you that before you went on that first tour over there. Does Shibata tell you guys, like, you're my young lions?
Oh, 100%, 100%.
Don't embarrass
me. And that was the thing too. Yeah, you have that feel, and going in and doing those workouts beforehand. Like, for us, like, they were fucking hard. They were miserable, and you're taking just, I mean, Mox just talked about it in an interview, and I remember it was like the second or last night of the G1, and I remember, you know, we're doing our training session, all the, and it's, you know, taking 10, 20 flatbacks every single day before we go wrestling, you know, and we're just bumping, taking tackles, and I heard him off the side, like, Jesus Christ, stop bumping, like, fuck, you know, every time we would take, because we're just in there, shit out of each other, getting a full workout in, and then it's like, all right, doors are open, so then we go get changed, and we're probably one of the early matches, so then you're just like, yeah, I've been working out for 3 hours, 2 hours, now I'll go wrestle this match. And then but yeah, 5.5 weeks of that was, you know, it was fun, it was awesome, because it was my first, you know, it was my first big tour. But then, like, midway through the tour, I got to deal with, like, the real life stuff that comes along with the business. I, like, you know, my uncle passed away, like, midway through the tour. Like, an hour before I get that phone call, 8 a.m., like, I've had a really fun FaceTime breakup call. You know what I mean? Like, all the real life stuff. So then it was that first tour is like, I was doing it. I was touring. I was on the fucking G1. I'm doing 12,000 people arenas, you know, and everything's awesome. But then, like, dealing with the double-edged sword, it was a fucking roller coaster, man. And honestly, I was very nervous about whether or not I could tough it out in Japan because of that tour. And my contract had actually expired, like, the last day. I re-signed like that night after the show. But, you know, it was even, I just talked about it on another interview, like, shout out to Rocky Romero, because he's just been, you know, he's like our go-to guy, you know, and off and everything, like, and he's also been someone, you know, when Shibata-san was gone for a few weeks or so at a time back home in Japan, or like, Rocky was in there helping us training, but, you know, he's been there. But he was one of the guys, you know, a few times throughout that tour that I was having a hard time, or even, you know, that conversation that's like, you know, just your first tour, very long, it's very, like, just, you know, stick it out, like, I think, you know, and I did, and I'm so glad I did. But and I think that's the other thing that I've been, like, super bummed about with the way things have gone the last 2 years, because, you know, after from July to January, I was on every single tour, even Super Junior Tag League. Like I was on those tours, and I got so comfortable, and I was, you know, like you're wrestling that many days a week, and now I'm in the Army Reserves now. I'm like 1 week in a month, baby. you know, we do these tapings and like, and it's just like it's harder to like feel that sharp. Right. You know, but yeah, like I was feeling so good and I was like, man, I get it now. Especially like I said, after that fourth tour, I was like, hopefully I can do this and adapt here, you know? And then I finally did it and I'm like, I understand the wrestling. I understand what we do, who we are, how I fit in here. And yeah, now I'm just dying to get back.
Let me ask you, we're going to let you go shortly, Carl. I know it's been a long talk. It's been great though. And
yeah, we appreciate your time. So
you come back from your G1 Climax tour. You're a WCW fan. They tell you, hey, we're going to do this show in Tacoma, Washington, and you're going to team with Jushin Thunder Liger. What was that like for you? Because you did it the next night too in Defy. It wasn't like a one-off thing. You got the
I got two, and then man, it was cool. And like the homie Pillman was in that match too. Like that was the only time I got to share the win with Brian. But yeah, dude, being it's one of those like just like being in the dojo at first. Like it's still now that I know him really well, you know. I'm like oh, it was, you know, it's Liger something now. But for like to that point at first, like, oh, like this is the, you know, just like all these legends, like, man, this is the guy, like sitting on the bus and Nagata-san's, you know, across the aisle from me, and you're like, and Tana's next to you, you know, like it's just like, what, it's crazy. But then yeah, then being in that match, and then you know, and then when you're in those matches with those guys too, it's like every match, like I gotta impress Boss Man Shibata-san. Like that's like, come back from the match, yeah. You know, go get your critique. But then, like, I'm in here with Liger-san too, and like, if I'm not performing well, I guarantee, you know, that's probably going to be a problem. So it's like that, that stress. I like to say, because probably I've been fairly lucky with, you know, the ass whoopings I've gotten for getting in trouble or anything like that. But I always joke with the boys. I was like, I did so well because I was just afraid of getting my ass whipped. I think I excelled because I was just scared.
Fear is a powerful thing.
Yeah.
Powerful tool, man. I'll tell you that.
What was it? Let me ask you, what was it like? So we've been doing the podcast for a little over 10 years now.
I know where you're going.
and we vended a wrestler back in the day so that we were allowed to go backstage to, you know, pay him and talk to him. And I walked back there and there was fucking Jushin Thunder Liger without his mask on. And I was heartbroken. I was like, you're not. It's like, you know, I don't want to see this.
It's a memory that I want to scrub from my mind, like completely, like for the rest of my life, even though I know he's wrestled previously without the mask, but like, just well, like
I think that's just you guys being good fans. If you ask me, like, I don't understand wrestling fans, man. Like, and I'm not talking about all fans, but it's like we're like the only ones, no one hates wrestling more than wrestling fans for some reason.
Very true.
But like, you know, all my friends that are like, I guess usually I use like the Game of Thrones reference or Walking Dead, but like something like Euphoria, that's what everyone watch. I don't watch shows, but like, but I know people like. People that watch shows, normal people, fans of stuff, they don't want spoilers. They don't fuck with spoilers. They don't like. They don't go out of their way to try and learn every single like. I used to love turning on any, you know, turning on wrestling as a kid and like, oh, what's going on? Like, what's going to happen tonight? Like, so crazy to me, you know. Like, you guys want to keep Liger in that on that, you know, in that light as a fan, you know. Like, and I just don't understand why. I swear so many wrestling fans just like
it was their
own experience. You know,
it was the single worst moment of my life. And I've been through some shit.
Yeah, I was not ready for that. There should have been like I didn't belong back there in the first place, but there should have been.
Yeah.
Okay, I was doing
Mark, put your mask on.
I was doing the interviews back there for them, and I was like getting content for the podcast, which I wasn't even a part of at the time. But I was the man on the street, and I was back there with the Briscoes, Elijah Burke, Christ. Why am I blanking on his name? The hardcore guy.
You just said it, right?
No. who's like the old guy that who's crazy and psychopathic? Nick.
That's a lot of.
Oh my god, he was there. He was
Necro Butcher.
Sounds like a wrestler.
Necro Butcher.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and Necro Butcher, like, I wanted to get an interview with him, and he's like, "Hey, go talk to Liger. I hear he speaks perfect English." So like a jerk, I went over there. But yeah. Anyway, that's bad moment.
Who's your favorite person to get in there and work with?
I think, man, I the match that I had with Alex at Resurgence, I think especially for the 10-minute opener that it was, like, I think because again, like, it was like that New Japan, you know, is being able to do that. But man, Clark Connors, dude, the first guy I wrestled when we, you know, when we got in the dojo, and of course, you know, we're all, you know, talking, like I said, like 5-minute round, just seeing what everyone's got, and like. And it sounds cliche, I'm just like that first lockup. And I was just like, oh, like this guy wrestled. Like, I know I can feel that he probably wrestles like me. And then that, in that first 5 minutes, first time meeting each other, like everything was just without, you know, we were on the same wave. And then the more we learned stuff, you know, through the same training, all of that. And then we did that, we like 20-minute main event, that first LA Dojo showcase. And that was for us, that was our opportunity to take the ball and say, like, yeah, we're main event fucking guys, and we can put on, you know, we'll go out here and do our jobs like we need to and know we can. And then, like, same thing with that match. It was like, so I couldn't believe it was 20 minutes when we were done, you know, everything, like, it's just, and I think our timing, just everything about it, you know, like he's someone that, like, I just know what he's doing and how he's going to do it. And it's like, it's been that way since day one.
It's awesome. I like watching you and Clark, and I do like you and Alex too. I think you guys have chemistry. I just pulled my mic.
Yep. 10 years. 10 years, Carl.
I've been very excited to talk to Carl. I've wanted to have him on the show for a while now.
This was a great time.
Oh, this has been I'll tell you, we talked my hangover off, so that's good. I feel tenfold better than I did when I started the conversation.
All right, look at us.
We're the
cure for a hangover.
It's the smiles, man. That, and yeah, I definitely appreciate a fun, easy talk. And then I also appreciate every time I do an interview now and someone doesn't ask the question, like, so did you do a lot of squats in the dojo? Like, yeah, of course, I did a lot of fucking squats in the dojo. Like,
what was the most annoying question we asked you?
Huh?
What was the most annoying question we asked you?
No, you guys nailed it. Because every, like, I get like a little, like my antennas will go as soon as we start talking about dojo and training and things. You know, it's like,
gotcha.
Yeah, but then you know, you guys ask good personal questions. You know,
we don't give a shit.
Training hard, you know, or.
I don't want to disappoint the Shining Wizards listeners. So, Carl, I have to ask. I asked the question to all my guests, our guests. Excuse me.
Oh boy.
My question though: when was the last time you shit your pants?
I've yet to do that in a match.
Meant in general.
I've yet to have. Well, I just want to say, like, I've yet because it's gonna happen. Like, you know, like I just everybody I know, you know, everyone, like, dude, it happens to everybody. Let's see, last time. I think this last summer I sharted.
Last time I can think of,
you know, I had to go check things out and things didn't go well. I think it was maybe late July, early August.
Yeah.
Sometime around Resurgence, I shit my pants, guys.
Look, it happens all the time. It happens. Ethan Page tells a hysterical shitting his pants story where he was doing like door-to-door sales and shit his pants like at somebody's house while he was doing it. He told it
in the middle of
he told it on the podcast, and then he went upstairs and like threw his underwear out or something. Well, I it happens to me more than it should to a normal human being.
I have friends that like, I'm like, what do you mean you shit your pants again?
That's Kevin.
That's you. That you.
It all the time. It's me all the time. The last time I shit my pants, Carl, I was literally 6 inches from the toilet bowl.
That's worth.
I was going to take a dump, and it just I sharted, and it was.
Oh.
It was not, and I had bragged about it the night before. Okay. Like, yeah, I bragged about it on the podcast. I was like, "It's been like 8 months since I shit my pants. We're rolling."
I'm on a streak right now.
No pun intended. Well,
I'm not on a streak for once. I guess.
Yeah. Carl, we would love to have you back on anytime.
Just scratch the surface. It. You mentioned Super Juniors, and like that, just like how did we not talk about Super Juniors? And now I just want to talk about Super Juniors.
Let's do it, man.
And it's inevitable that New Japan eventually comes to the East Coast. New Japan Strong. So when they come to New York or Philadelphia, we'll meet up after the show and do some shots of Jaeger.
So
I will do Jaeger.
So I should be seeing. I think April. I might be able to have a shot or two with you. But yeah, you'll know soon enough, I'm sure.
I am excited. I can't wait.
That should be happening sooner than later. So
I was in Philly in 2020.
Great story.
At the arena.
I wrestled Mikey Nichols in Philly there.
I got fucking shit-faced at that show.
Man, I love wrestling in Philly.
I got so shit-faced.
East Coast crowd, you know.
I'll tell you what, that arena, nothing like the original ECW arena, though.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, it's still just that I'm in the building is cool. And I do love that, like, the whole area is fucking shitty. And, like, I'm like, this is 100% the area that ECW was thriving in. Like, this is definitely their little neighborhood. Fuck yeah. And then I hurry to the bus, you know.
I was lucky enough to go to ECW shows back in the day in the arena. I had to take a shit in a pizza parlor where I had to go down into the basement to use their bathroom. And my buddy who went with me went down. He couldn't find the chain to turn the light on, so he just pissed all over the place. And I was like, we get outside, and he's like, yeah, I just pissed all over. I'm like, dude, they had like fucking soda and shit down there. What's wrong with you? And I couldn't find the chain. I'm like, you asshole. Yeah, I got fucking hammered at the show. Because I work on a food truck, so I worked.
Oh, yeah.
I worked the farmer's market in the morning, and then we had like a 90-minute drive, and I started crushing double Jack and Cokes, and I had like two hot dogs. And I was in bad shape.
Whiskey and hot dogs, man.
It was not a good combination. Not a good combination. But it was a great show. Yeah.
I had some Jameson yesterday. So this is a typical Sunday fun day, or what turned into Sunday fun day.
Oh, look at this. The gift that keeps on giving right here.
This is an insight into like being out in public with me, guys. It was supposed to be a chill day, but it wasn't. Let's see. Two big Bloody Marys. I had at least three mimosas. And then, of course, usually it's pitchers of Coors Light.
Fair.
Had the Jameson shit. We tried it. My buddy, I call it. So I live in a duplex, and a homie that lives upstairs went to college together. So he was not on that college wave time machine with me. And even he was like down yesterday. He's like, let's do a shot of Jaeger. Let's do it. I was like, but they were out. Fucking supply chain, guys. So we did. So we took a shot of JMO instead. And then, do you know what long drinks are? It's they're in cans. It's
the
cans?
Like a Moscow Mule.
The blue, the regular one, the gin one. I probably throughout the rest of the afternoon. It was about a 10-hour day. I think from about noon to 10:30 we were out. And yeah, then it was just a bunch of gin drinks for the rest of the night. And then of course the 2 days before were just anything that anyone gave us.
That's usually how it goes.
That was the menu on a Sunday when it was like, yeah, we're going to send it. But like, it was supposed to be like chill at the same time. But it is a lot of stuff. All right. And what is it? 5:10 p.m. on Monday. And I'm finally not hungover anymore. So
good. God bless.
Carl, this is good.
I can party, but the repercussions are.
Oh, they're there.
Yeah, they're definitely there. This has been an absolute pleasure. We'd love anytime. We'd love to have you back on. Before you go back to Japan, when you come back, you're promoting anything. we'll touch base because this was a blast. And
oh man, yeah, I had a blast.
Tony, we have a third, and it's Tony, but he hates guests apparently.
Yeah, Tony,
and I don't know why.
He doesn't fuck with the guest shows.
No, he hates them. He never does.
He's like, watch. You want to, Carl? You want to fuck with him?
Especially like when it's like a 7 o'clock guest when we start. Like he wants no part of it.
I just texted him. I told him we were ready. When he drops in, Carl, tell him like go fuck yourself and just hang up. It'll be hysterical.
Yes, let's do that, please. Go fuck yourself. Go fuck yourself, Tony. And
like, Tony, I heard you hate guests. Go fuck yourself.
Here you go.
Okay.
You guys know I'm listening to you, waiting for you guys to like invite me into the conversation, right?
All
right,
Carl, you're on.
Hey Tony, man, nice to meet you. I'm gonna get out of your hair. Yeah, you guys can fuck off for the rest of the evening since you don't really want me here. So thanks for the chat.
I shit my pants last week, by the way, and you fucking left.
That's right.
Fuck Carl Fredericks.
Fucking
awesome.
No, that he didn't deserve that. We deserve.
Hey, did he fucking bounced on me? What a dick.
I thought you said you were listening.
Yeah,
I was listening.
Well, then you should have known that was the plan.
Holy shit.
Well, it's on a fucking like 10-second delay, so I didn't get the entire plan. I was trying to cut it off at the pass, and I guess I was still too late anyway.
Hey, T-Donk, I got good news for you.
Oh, shit, what?
Carl Fredericks?
Oh, no.
Top five.
See, I can't go along with that because I didn't listen to the whole thing. But
he might be number one.
What I heard, I think top 10, definitely.
He might be.
Until he motherfucked me, and then, you know.
He may have just beat out Sonny Kiss as number one, or Stevie Ray as number one.
I hope his hangover's not over. I hope like he's got residuals and he's like he fucking blows a fart and he shits his pants. And I hope the cycle starts over for him too. Hey, I like them apples, Carl.
Hey, so Matt, what do you say we take a commercial break?
Oh, you fucking bring me in and you're gonna do a break? Fuck all y'all.
Yeah, if you gotta go, you can go. I'll catch up with this guy.
No, I thought that was hysterical though. That's why I had to say.
Oh, it was awesome. I don't know.
Yeah, fantastic. For a break. Yeah, fucking great. Wonderful.
He had a blast, by the way.
I blasted his ass. There you
bro,
go.
I looked up. It was 7:45. I was like, holy shit. This is awesome.
Yeah. Awesome.
Hello, Tony.
Good. You got rid of Kevin?
No, Kevin.
What? Everybody's leaving? Are you leaving too? Is that the fucking joke?
No, I'm not. Relax.
Are y'all giving me to Iggy tonight? Like the second half of the show's
Kevin
all me?
I gotta go take a piss.
Was he going to go piss on the soda cans?
That was Donnie Freakins that did that.
Fucking Donnie, what a dick. It kind of doesn't surprise me. It seems like a Donnie thing to do. Well, since I'm here, I might as well do the fucking plugs and let you guys know what's happening around the Shining Wizards Network these days.
Are you going to do that? Because then I will take a piss.
Yeah, sure. Fuck it. I'll do the show. Why not? Fucking assholes. Yeah, and zoom in on me. Look how handsome I am. Look at this.
Here, I'll give you some music. What do you want?
Three fucking ugly idiots talking shit about shit, and then I come back, and they just give me the entire floor to myself. This is amazing. I love it. This week of the past on the Shining Wizards Network, we've had the Turnbuckle Throwbacks, who celebrated 35 years of demolition. That's right. They cover everything from the beginning days all the way through to Demolition Blast. It's a blast. And unfortunately, no Jay this week, who is the glue of that show, but Phil and Choppy did a great job. Inconclusive Breakdown, Justin and Vince are covering more of the Ukraine situation, and their top 10 this week, Movie Brothers. Always love listening to Inconclusive Breakdown. Ringside Rant, Justin and RJ are covering the March 3rd, 1997 Raw from Germany, which features the European Championship Final between Davey Boy Smith and Owen Hart. Amazing match. Go check that out. Radioactive Metal. Snowy and Aaron ask everyone the question, what is metal? And then they spend the next 2 hours playing all the greatest fucking metal and talking about all kinds of metal shit. The Mark Order Podcast. I know it's a little behind. They are always on Wednesdays. Don't forget to check them out. They covered the Tony Khan announcement about Ring of Honor being purchased by Tony Khan. I know we're probably going to talk about that later, but I want to let you know what the professionals who cover AEW every week were talking about, and they give a little pay-per-view preview. If you haven't watched the pay-per-view, please check them out, and I'm sure they're going to have a recap this Wednesday anyway, so check out our friends at the Mark Order Podcast. Wrestling Night in Canada, Snowy, Matt, and Ducky are back, and they're covering all of the big men in pro wrestling history. We're talking Andre, we're talking Giant Gonzalez. They're all there, and they talk about them, and they pretty much consider the fact that none of these guys are actually very handsome, which I would tend to disagree with, but it's there. And of course, our friends from Down Under, the Brocast, they actually go on a rewind. They have the Rusev versus John Cena match from WrestleMania 31 in the vault. And they also do a watch along to WrestleMania 17's main event, The Rock and Stone Cold Steve Austin. And that's what's going on around the Shining Wizards Network this week. Don't forget, too, if you have not joined the Patreon, patreon.com/wizardspodcast, shiningwizards.com/patreon. We've got tons of bonus episodes up there. But listen, you don't even have to do that. For as little as $1, we will mention you each and every week right here on the show as part of our Patreon producers list. But your best value, Matt says it each and every week, for $3, you get access to the library of bonus shows. And we got a bunch of bonus shows already for you in March. We did another crossword puzzle. And when I say we, I mean Matt took a shot at it this time, playing against Kevin, and I was the hostess with the mostest. It was awesome. And we also covered our top five favorite WrestleMania matches of all time. That's all in the hopper. Those episodes, plus all of the archive of the bonus episodes available for you just for $3 a month. $5 a month, we will plug your shit. You got a website. You got a friend who makes experimental music. You want to sell something. We'll plug it for you. Let us know. Better not be any kind of poopy stuff, though, because as much as we like talking about poop, I don't think we want to plug poop. Actually, you should probably buy a plug if you have poop problems. That's a little advice from your Uncle Tony. $10 a month, $20 a month. We got the regular box of wizardry. We got the ginormous grande mochalate machino boxes of wizardry. Every 3 months, we're going to send the flyest, freshest, dopest wrestling stuff to your door. Matt's been on top of that. Matt combs the world far and wide to bring you guys good stuff, and it's all there at the $10 and $20 levels. 3 months minimum. Every 3 months, you get a brand new. It's like fucking Christmas 4 times a year. Where can you beat that? You can't. You got it right here from your boys at the Shining Wizards. And I know Matt's already with the list, so if he wants to get back on the screen, I'm giving him the cue. There he is. Matt's going to tell us this month, this week, our Patreon producers.
We want to thank those that support us. Tony just did an amazing job. So hands together for Tony. Big clap there for T-Donk. We couldn't do this without these wonderful folks who continue to support the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. Kathy Hummer, the queen of the Shining Wizards. Manny Kratzo, the king of the Shining Wizards. Excuse me. Danny and Anthony Rusinello, the AOP of the SWP. Sean Toe, Sean Callejo, Kate, the great Hensler over at OnDeckIC.com. She's the queen of the podcast. She's doing the Mark Order. She's doing Fightful. She's doing Sour Grabs. I can't keep track of her. Follow her on her social media. She's got a whole list. Matt Garifo, no relationship to the K. J. G. Maddie Mellinger, Christine Friesendorf, Mark Parloni.
Happy birthday.
Kenny Halsey, the Scotch Drinks More. Jay Kopp, the Big Kopp of Pump. Thomas Copps, the Mott Spock, who's throwing out that Ring of Honor podcast, which I want to listen to because I think they covered the 10th anniversary show, and I was at the Hammerstein Ballroom for that, so I want to listen to that. Michael Hammond, Matthew Birch, was it the 10th or the 14th anniversary show? I don't know. I got to go back and look. Matthew Birch, the True Prince of Pro. Braden Bergen, the LeBron James of Mattel Elite Figure Collecting. Brendan Haney, Carrie Cowling, Ryan Schlong, Asian Joe, David Henry Bauer III, I Dunk Biscuits from the UK, brand new Patreon supporter.
Thank you.
Roll, Mike Peterson, Rob Humphrey, and last but certainly not least, his pal Antonio Hauserman makes experimental music at harvestmanrecords.bandcamp.com. The one, the only, William Mercier Jr.
Lives are going to be in William Mercier's hands. You know what I mean?
I know what you mean, Kevin.
Oh, yeah. Big time meetings.
All right. See you guys next week.
All right. Tony, thanks for stopping by.
I'm chatting. I'm just following up with our guests. My apologies.
No. That wasn't directed at you.
That was directed at me. Like, I served my purpose.
Tony's here. He wants to leave. It's fine.
That's all. I heard we got another guest at 8:25, so I don't want to be here for
that's
that
right.
either.
Frederick Carls will be joining us at...
Frederick Carls.
At 8:45, so we're going to tighten up, Tony.
The newest signee to Impact Wrestling. That's
right. Frederick Carls.
He was the man. Frederick Carls was the man.
Big Frederick Carls guy. Loved him at ECPAW.
EC Paul.
EC Paul, that's right.
EC Paul.
A lot of fundraisers for pets.
Well, Tony, it's great of you to join us.
Great. It's great of you to be here so I can join you.
That's right. Yeah, well, we got a lot to talk about, a lot to cover.
Big stuff.
AEW Revolution.
Big time night.
Was Yay! Last night.
Yeah.
And you know what that means?
Oh, no. Is that what it means? Is that what I think it means?
Oh, no.
Who's it means it? The Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast made some picks last night. Picks time for the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast picks for the pay-per-view where Matt dominated.
Oof. What a stinker.
I don't know. You dominated?
Is dominated the right word?
Bro, I went 11-1. 11-1. What did you do? 8-4, 8-4.
Well, I didn't walk away. I wasn't talking shit.
I'm right on your ass, Tony. I'm two behind you now, you punk ass.
I always like two behind me.
Yeah, ain't that the truth?
Kevin's one behind me. I'm right in the middle now.
Oh my God, Kevin's in third place? Kevin's over, bro.
Yeah, I'm done. I stink. I hate picks. I'm done.
I fucking hate him too, man.
I'll tell you the two big differences.
Uh-oh.
I pick legit Layla. You guys pick Statlander.
Yeah. Bunch of fucking shit.
Didn't see that one coming.
And I picked Britt Baker, and you guys took Thunder Rosa.
Yeah, that one. There's always one you want to have back. I don't think that's the one I want to have back, though.
Tony took Keith Lee to win the ladder match. And Kevin took Red Dragon to win the tag titles.
Yeah, that one I would want to have back. That's the one you want to take back. Because I just thought that the story of the tension between the two, if these guys are the newcomers are having the belts and all that stuff, I just thought that it would have been a nice little story to tell. So that's why I went with Red Dragon, being Young Buck being jealous of them. Even though Young Bucks are clearly, in the eyes of the world, better than them. Air quotes there. But I just, yeah. So I would like to have that one back.
And then we all lost the Danielson match. It's my only blemish on my record.
Yeah. You know, that's the one I would like to have back. I should have thought better than that. I should have thought John Moxley was going to win that damn thing. That's the one I would have taken back. I would have stuck with Thunder Rosa. I would have stuck with Keith Lee, but if one to have back, it would have been Moxley.
And can I tell you how much I hated that match, by the way?
Which match?
The Thunder Rosa Britt Baker match. I hated the sequence towards the end.
Fair enough.
It's all right. She's a heel. We get it. She has heaters. I get it. But that's like a dynamite finish. That's not a pay-per-view finish to me. And it just really, really, really bothered me.
I didn't see any of the show. I can tell you that somebody posted Thunder Rosa's entrance, and they said that, look at her. She looks like she doesn't want to be there, and that was a telltale sign that she was not winning.
No, I disagree with that 100%.
I don't know, man. I watched that, and it's kind of hard to argue against it because she came out, and she had, like, no expression on her face.
I think that was, like, serious, like, I'm not showing emotion because I'm in this to win this championship face.
Yeah,
this
but she came out in like a half a flamingo looking thing too. Like
right at first, then she shed it. She shed it quick, and then it was just her eye and the prize. I don't know. That's how I took it.
You know what I took away from it? Brand new belt. What do you think of the new belt?
Beautiful.
It's beautiful. I agree. I concur with Kevin.
It's an upgrade.
It's an homage to the North American Championship from Mid-South.
Do you know this already for facts?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
It's designed exactly the same. It's even got the four corners with the little circles in them.
Is this the North American belt that Jeff Jarrett wore in WWE?
No. This was the Mid-South North American belt held by, Magnum TA.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about. It's like it looks really oversized.
For some reason, I just decided to put NWA in my head instead of Mid-South.
The only thing that I don't understand is, didn't they just make the other belt bigger not too long ago?
And gold, too, I think, right?
Yeah.
Didn't they make it
a little bigger of an oval and gold.
Yeah, so like it's just really weird that they would like pivot so quickly to another new design, but whatever.
They probably knew that the first one looked like shit.
Well, there you go.
Bro, it was terrible.
Yeah, it was bad.
100%. It looked great when it was on like Rio because she weighed 100 pounds soaking wet. But when fucking Nyla Rose is wearing a thing, it looks like a fucking belt buckle.
Yeah, very, very rare misstep in the AEW belt department, by the way, that belt. Because everything else has been phenomenal. Other than the COVID snafus with the TNT titles, everything else, all their other belts look great.
Yeah, the tag belts still feel a little Dave and Buster's to me.
No way. Those are the best tag belts in the game.
What?
It's a toss-up between them and the NXT UKs. And I haven't watched NXT UK in like 6 years. So they might be different.
Sorry, Kev. I didn't mean
No, it's fine. We should not be talking about belts.
So Revolution, I thought was phenomenal. To Kevin's point, I didn't. The Britt Baker Thunder Rosa and the Jade Cargill Tay Conti match, they were not good. They were not good. The best women's match of the night happened on the pre-show.
I saw the ending of that match and I was like, ugh. I didn't see the whole match.
Which
legit match? Layla with the fucking with the gimmick. The
red?
Ugh.
It was
it wasn't only that. I saw that move that they tried to do off the top rope together, and I was just like, yikes.
Yeah, yeah. There was a lot more yikes. I thought there was a lot more yikes moment in the Jade Cargill Tay Conti match. I hated the fucking kiss at the beginning. I don't understand.
That's a thing now, I think, in wrestling. Like, that's not the first time I've seen that. Like, they did it at Sacrifice, and they did it at Impact with Tasha and Mickey James.
Jade was definitely going for the Mortal Kombat Jade look, and people were liking it to, like, the Kiss of Death, which is one of the finishers of Mortal Kombat, which, like, a lot of people, of course, like the uber nerds were like, it wasn't even her finisher. It was, like, Katana's finisher. Yeah, I mean, you know, apples and oranges, but... Right. Maybe she just went for it as part of like the Mortal Kombat gimmick. Like, this is the kiss of death. I don't know. Like, whatever.
I fucking hated it. I hated the match. Tay Conti is not that great. I'm sorry.
She's not. Conti and Jade both need somebody in there to direct traffic. And when you have two idiots that don't, I mean, idiots, two people that don't know how to direct traffic, you got a fucking shit show.
All right. So let's not completely forget that Tay Conti was in WWE developmental. She was in NXT. She never made the main roster. She was just, she was there. Jade is straight, as far as I know, other than whatever training she had from the Nightmare Factory. Is she a Nightmare Factory?
Jade? I don't know who's training her.
But whatever,
what Bryanson is now.
But well, they're not seasoned enough, and when Tay Conti is the more seasoned one of the two, that's not the best. Granted, she's done great, and she's been a phenomenal character and a phenomenal wrestler for AEW. But when she's the more seasoned one, and she's not in there with Britt Baker, or she's not in there with Thunder Rosa, or she's not in there with anyone else, or maybe like a Red Velvet or something like that, like. It's not the best scenario. Again, just going by, you know, top of the head thoughts.
And to be fair, this match for me, my expectations were super low. The Britt Baker Thunder Rosa match was, I was super disappointed in that.
Yeah,
it felt like they were. I said it Wednesday night when we did the show. When they had their exchange Wednesday night on Dynamite, it didn't. They looked like they weren't on the same page, and it just seemed like it. Picked up here, and I think the story they're going for is Thunder Rosa's going to win at Patrick Slam in 2 weeks because that was when she beat her in the Lights Out match, and it's full circle. Maybe they do Texas Death Match. Maybe they put it in a cage to keep all the goons out.
I'm with you. I hated it. Hated the ending.
It's tough when you want a series of matches to start the damn thing with a Lights Out match, because then where do you go from there? Like, and a regular match just isn't going to cut it.
Right. Well, they kept them apart for a long time.
Yeah, they put Britt with some other people in between. And same with Thunder.
I'm going to go out on a limb with this. Eddie Kingston, Chris Jericho, and then the three-way tag match. And I did not do any research on this, so you may argue with me if you like. You got to give me some time to go look back. Might be the best 1-2 opening of any wrestling pay-per-view.
I'm with you.
Not just AEW. Like, Eddie Kingston and Chris Jericho was fucking fantastic.
I thought the tag match And again, this is just like picking nits. I thought the tag match started, I think there were two parts of that tag match. I think it started off a little wonky and then really picked up the pace once the divisive split between the Bucks and Red Dragon started. And I think, Jungle Boy. Can we talk about Jungle Boy for a second?
He was doing
how amazing he is.
Holy moly.
And how I never thought that he could ever do some of the stuff he did in that match. His sequences were like, he's the one doing the double teaming. Like, he's the one that's doing like the Hurricanrana. And then, oh, wait a second. I'll take your partner and give him a freaking suplex too.
That was sick. Sick.
Like that's what tag teams do. That's not what a one person does to two other men. I agree. Kingston Jericho was insanely fun. And then this match, I think, again, started off a little wonky, but then I don't like the overuse of the sneaky tag yourself in on somebody else just by slapping their back. The blind tag, if you will. So like that happened a whole lot in this match. And then as soon as Nick Jackson tagged in, he immediately tagged Matt before he even did anything. Like I thought that like, and that happened a lot too in this match. So that was a little weird. But again, that's just totally picking nits. Didn't even need to be brought up.
No, but since you brought it up, that's a big problem with AEW. The referees, they have no fucking rhyme, reason, or fucking like enforcement of the rules. They just go, whatever.
Well, it's not so much the referees enforcing the rules. It's just
it is.
No, but it's like, why did you want to get tagged in if literally your brother was standing right there and you're just going to tag him as soon as you walk in? Is it because you can get the five count to do a move? But why wouldn't he just come in anyway?
What happened to having to make contact with an opponent before you could tag back out? Was that not a rule anymore?
Was that ever a rule?
Yeah. You had to make contact with somebody before you could tag back out.
Are you sure that's just not a 2 out of 3 falls match?
No.
Because didn't you, after a fall, didn't you have to do something before you could tag?
No, they used to give like just a rest period and give the opponent a chance to answer the bell or something like that.
No, I thought the people that finished the first fall had to start the second. I thought.
Yeah, no, they do. They do. They don't tag out.
Yeah, but I don't think that's ever been a rule where like in a regular tag match you have to make contact with your opponent before you tag your partner.
Yeah.
No, I don't think that's ever happened. Because what happens when you do like the stare off, like when you start a match, like, no, I want him, I want him, I want him. And then they tag the other person to give.
Because the match hasn't officially started yet?
No, the bell rang. The bell rang.
All right, so then what's the problem with Nick tagging Matt? Like, so what was the problem?
No, I just don't get it. I'm not saying it's a problem. I just don't understand why you would put your hand out to get tagged in if you're literally just going to go and tag Matt.
I don't know.
Again, picking nits.
So those are the pre-show too, the six man with the House of Black and Death Triangle and Eric Redbeard was awesome. Redbeard hung with these fucking dudes.
Was Redbeard on Rampage, or was this like a debut? Because I didn't.
He was on Rampage. He debuted on Rampage.
Okay.
So that was fucking awesome. Hook beat QT Marshall, which was also really good.
Yeah.
The ladder match was fun. There was a lot of innovative spots with Orange Cassidy and stuff. Wardlow won, so that plays into the story from Wednesday night. I thought that was good. The Punk MJF dog collar match. The attention to detail. Now I don't know if I'm sure it's a CM Punk thing. The fact that he gets his old Ring of Honor music for his entrance, and he dresses like when he had dog collar matches with Raven and Jimmy Rave. It was fucking awesome. It was awesome. The match was unbelievable.
It was what the story was. The story and the program was fantastic. So this match was equal to what they've been doing up until this match. Absolutely amazing. Little overkill with some stuff, but you know, it's a dog collar match. Anything goes. Do what you want. Big time baby face against the best heel in wrestling. Rock on.
And we got the Wardlow turn at the end,
which is awesome. Brilliant,
awesome stuff. Probably my favorite match of the night.
Ooh, that's a great question.
I mean, it's just close. Moxley and Danielson was fucking bonkers too.
Yeah, that might. All right, so I could have used. The blood is just too, like, it's hard to watch a lot of the blood for me, and that's just my own personal thing. And Matt, I want to circle back real quick to Eddie Kingston, Jericho. Were you surprised we didn't see Santana or Ortiz at all? Like, do you remember, like, watching it? Like where are, like, when?
No, not really.
So do you think they'll maybe follow it up with, and Jericho didn't shake Kingston's hand like he said he would.
No, he did not. So I think there's more there that we'll see Wednesday.
Yeah. I had a booger this whole time on my nose.
All right.
Shawn Michaels at WrestleMania 9?
So Moxley pins Danielson. Then they kind of try and beat the shit out of each other. And then we get the debuting Steven Regal, which is fucking awesome.
Well, William Regal, because they called him William Regal.
Sorry, William Regal. My apologies.
No, I wasn't, not directed at you. I just wasn't sure if they were allowed to call him William Regal or not.
He has to stay as William Regal now, though, right? I mean, like, everybody knows him as William Regal.
Well, yeah, I mean, right? all the press releases say William Regal, so.
So, yeah, I guess. Yeah.
What a fuck. What a signing.
Is he signed? Yeah.
Yes.
That was awesome. It was just so well done. And once he came down to the ring, I knew it. Like you knew. Like, he's like, stop it, you, like, little freaking kids. And just shake hands like little men kids. And let's just get over this. It was really good. Really well done.
The six-man tornado match was exactly what it needed to be. Although, I don't give a shit about Darby Allin and his artistic views and these fucking dumb videos at the beginning of these fucking matches. I don't give a shit.
All right. Easy.
What easy?
It's once every 3 months they do it.
Fucking stupid. Who gives a shit?
You're not seeing it every week. Relax.
I don't want to see it. How's that fucking sound, Kevin?
It sounds like your old grumpy Matt. Just let it go.
I just don't want to see his stupid artistic videos. They're fucking useless.
Fucking hair's on fire.
He drives a truck into like an RV and then Sting as a flamethrower. What the fuck is going on?
Exactly. At least they're doing something creative and interesting and something that the people are into with them. I mean, come on.
Like, come on. It's them being creative. If we take away anyone's creativity in wrestling, we would never got some of the greatest shit we ever got.
Yeah, he'd be Marco Stunt with half a face painted if he didn't do this shit. Come on now.
I mean, the shit he does in the ring is insane enough. I don't need to see him in a fucking truck jumping off a ramp into a fucking RV.
Can I tell you as an aside, I learned today that Marco Stunt was in MLW for a while. I had no fucking clue.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's great.
This match was exactly what it needed to be, though. It was all over the fucking place. It was like the perfect in-between match after Moxley and Danielson in the main event. Yeah. We talked about it with Carl Fredericks. The fucking Sting doing balcony dives at 60 fucking whatever he is insane.
It's stupid. It's stupid.
Insane.
It's insane.
It's stupid.
No, if it's safe, it's safe.
A 60-year-old man diving off a balcony is never safe.
There was somebody there and some tables to break his fall.
That's right. Oh, yeah, sure. Tables. That's fine.
Well, Sammy Guevara is doing fucking Spanish flies off the entrance ramp, which was stupid. Well,
Sammy Guevara is also in his 20s, and he's a fucking idiot, too. But
he could still die.
Him and fucking Tay Conte saying they're crazy before they do a move fucking annoyed the shit out of me last night, too.
I didn't even pick up on that.
I saw a video of them. They were, like, wrestling in, like, the middle of a plaza somewhere, like, in street clothes, like, doing spots.
Yeah, they were working out the shit they were going to do in their bedroom when they went back to the hotel.
Yeah, a little plaza pleasure.
Well, they should have invited Darby because I don't know why. He fucking missed that coffin drop, dude.
Oh, well, Matt Hardy was, like, rolling away. I don't know what he was doing. Big Money Matt was looking for Jeff to make the tag.
Yeah, that's like the one part of the match I did see because it's the only match I didn't really watch all the way through. But this was like, I did see that finish and I actually went back and watched it twice. And like, where are you going? Like, what are you doing?
I think Matt was trying to do one of those like sell like you're trying to get up and then get hit with the move. But the problem was Darby wasn't anticipating him getting up to sell.
And it was,
And it was, because, you know, once Darby's up, he gives a little peek and he sees, like, he probably just notices, like, Matt's there. So he just goes, and then that was it. It was off.
Yeah, because Darby had the distance for sure. I was like, was Darby short on this?
And no, if Matt didn't move, he would have nailed it perfectly.
Yeah, Ray was like, "Why did he move?" I'm like, "I don't fucking know."
It's just like when he dropped that Phantom elbow a couple weeks ago. What the fuck is Matt doing? He needs Jeff, bro. He needs fucking Jeff to
come back. He's coming.
And it looked. You know what it reminded me of? Like, you ever like fall asleep on a pillow and you're literally on like the last corner of the pillow? And there's nothing left. That's it. Like Darby Allin and Matt Hardy was. It was like, oh, we'll just get this last little part of the pillow, and then we'll all fall asleep.
Then main event: Hangman Page retains against Adam Cole.
Baby,
it was exactly what you thought it would be. It was a fucking awesome match.
So Matt, you watched the show, the entire pay per view, start to finish live, correct?
I did.
Was there ever a point where you were just wrestled out?
No.
Okay, so you were engaged the entire way.
I mean, I got up during the Jade Cargill and the Tay Conte match.
Okay. No, I just
like kidding. I missed the kiss because I was like upstairs putting sweatpants on or something.
Mm. Accurate. But he's
probably taking his sweatpants down when he saw the kiss.
I tried to get through it today, and I was just wrestled out by like a lot of it. Like I was just like exhausted from watching. It was good. It was a great show, but I just felt myself like, oh, this match is still happening. Like this is still going on. All right.
It was a 4.5 hour pay-per-view. If you include the buy-in.
Yeah. You can't do that shit on a Sunday anymore. That's ridiculous.
Well, yeah,
that's ridiculous.
You know what? I was fine with it.
But I thought AEW was like the Saturday night delight. You know, I thought all their pay-per-views were Saturdays.
I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Matt doesn't work for AEW, Tony.
So Matt, what do you think? B-, C+?
What? The show? Fucking A, bro.
I'm giving it a B+.
You fucking out of your. This is fucking fantastic. It was fantastic shit.
Giving it a B+ for sure.
Stuff, man. Those two women matches were the only blemishes for me.
But I will say this, Matt.
Go.
That I think the better show of the weekend was Impact Wrestling Sacrifice.
My Sacrifice.
I think that show had top to bottom great wrestling, and I know I caught you off guard with this. There we go. And if I have to take, these are my three takeaways. We don't have to spend all day talking about it. Three takeaways from Impact Wrestling Sacrifice. Josh Alexander is back. Moose defeated Heath, which was actually a better match than I think it ever had any right to be.
Wait, who defeated Heath?
Moose.
Hey, this is Moose.
That's right. Moose, how'd you feel about that win?
Go ahead.
Hey.
All right. So
Shining the Wizards.
That's right. Shining the Wizards.
All right, so
that's what Moose is doing.
Hey, Shining the Wizards.
That's right, Moose. So Moose, you did a great job. So I just want to let you introduce yourself to the people one more time.
Shining the Wizards.
Oh wait, Moose is a little confused.
Hey, this is Moose.
All right, there you go.
Hey,
Josh Alexander. Hey.
Shining the Wizards.
That's right.
Moose, what are you doing?
Shining the Wizards.
So Moose, what are you going to do after Impact tonight? Fuck.
Hey, Shining the Wizard.
So Moose, you just went out with your beautiful, beautiful wife. You had a great dinner. You're gonna go home, and what are you gonna do?
Shining the Wizard.
That's right.
Hey, this is Moose.
Oh, so that was Sacrifice.
That was Moose. Fucking Moose.
So this is my takeaway. A lot of Honor No More lost matches, which is kind of surprising. I guess they're just now roster people, so they're just no longer an invasion type deal. Eddie Edwards did beat Rhino with the help of Steve Macklin, which was weird. But the other takeaway is Tasha Steelz is your new women's champion, defeating Mickie James. And you also have new tag team champions, EY, Joe Doering, defeated the Bullet Club of Carl Anderson and Luke Gallows. So a little surprising that Honor No More lost
two matches out of the three. Oh, by the way, Tony, watch PCO versus Jonas or Jonah. Watch that match because he takes PCO. I don't know how he's. We're talking about Sting diving off a stage. PCO took a powerbomb from Jonah off the stairs onto just the outside.
Well, he's a fucking maniac too.
Yeah, and then he did his, you know, his barrel, you know, plancha onto the apron on top of Jonah. That match, Switchblade and Alex Shelley.
Wait, who?
Actually, the whole Switchblade, Jay White and Alex Shelley had a great match.
Fucking fuck you, buddy.
That's a match. That's a whole show. You got to go back and watch. I'm telling you, the whole show.
It's on the list. We also had new Impact Knockout Tag Team Champions.
Yes,
which wins defeated the Inspiration.
That's right. Madison Rayne and Tennille Dashwood defeated Jesse and Cassie, and that happened when Caleb may or may not have intentionally thrown the belts to his team that he manages. But the story going forward will be that did he mean to throw them to them, or did he mean to throw them to the Inspiration? So that's that was fun too. I mean, that was actually a really good match as well. And then the Virtuosa had the champ challenge. Chelsea Green came back and she's fragile because she got hurt again.
She broke her wrist again.
Yeah. Now, was it the same wrist, Matt?
Do you have? I don't know, but it's broke as shit.
Yeah, it's broke as shit. Broke ass wrist.
That sucks.
No, it does suck because she's like really, really good. And I really thought that they would build. I think Mickie James lost this to get into a program with maybe a heel Chelsea. And now that will not be happening, apparently. So, but a lot of fun. Dude, I'm telling you, the show is awesome. William Morrissey slammed Hawkins through his table. Oh no, he slammed security through his table, which had his figures. So that was Sacrifice. I loved the show. I think it was better than Revolution. But
oh wow! All right, I have to go back and watch it. I have to find time. Tony, last Monday night.
Yes.
We talked about Tony Khan's huge announcement.
Yes.
And Wednesday, it came out that Tony Khan bought and now owns Ring of Honor. Did this meet the hype, Tony?
It's a cool thing that he did. I know that. Look, we rip on Tony Khan. He tweaks. He's always nervous. Who knows if anything else is involved? Yeah, allegedly,
he does a lot of cocaine. Allegedly.
I understand this was his baby. This was his thing. Like, he wanted to make the announcement, but boys just got to take a breath. He's got to let the crowd, like, you know, he's got to learn to let the crowd, like, follow him along instead of just like, you know, like, you know, wait, didn't Kevin do that last week?
Nope. You do that all the time. That's just
anyway. It's cool. It was a great announcement. Was it earth shattering? Was it life changing the way he hyped it up? No. The problem is we don't know what he's going to do with it. Maybe if they simmered and kind of tried to figure things out and he would have had like a more detailed announcement going into it, it might've been worth more.
He's the maybe Booker man.
I get it, but it's not a terrible announcement, but it's not like mind blowing, earth shattering, any of that. I mean, we got to wait and see. Would have been nice to have a little more meat on that bone, but I mean, I can't complain about it. It wasn't like a dog shit announcement. I mean, I know you guys are probably looking like, oh, Ring of Honor, what the fuck? But no, but who knows? Do they get the TVs? Do they get the Well, I mean, I know you're looking like, because I was like shitting all over the fact that he was.
I was just sorry. I'm paying attention to the conversation, dickhead.
But we don't know if the television spots came along with it. We don't know if it's just the video library, if it's the name, if Gresham or any of the champions are coming back. Like, we didn't know any of that when he made this announcement. He's just like, hey, I bought Ring of Honor.
Well, that's actually the fairest point that of the whole thing that you just
there
said.
Was a press release that was in our email and that still should be there.
Maybe not.
Of course not. Why would
Tony delete?
The deal included the Ring of Honor video library, brand assets, intellectual property, production equipment, and more. And then he said last night during the media scrum, being Tony Khan, that he will be booking Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
And in a not so straight way, he said it will kind of be like developmental for AEW.
I thought AEW doesn't do developmentals.
Is that a quote from Tony Khan?
Oh, yeah, he said it. He said, we don't have an NXT. This is our NXT, where people, like, actually learn on the job instead of learning in a lower... Look, he said that. He can change his mind. I hope that he's serious about it. More power to him, because they desperately need a developmental. But, bro, we got to get some people there like FTR. FTR ain't doing diddly squat. They'd be awesome in Ring of Honor. Maybe Proud and Powerful goes down there and works with some of the new guys. I don't know. Give the people that know what they're doing that aren't on TV right now an opportunity to work with some of the younger guys down there. And I think it's a great idea.
All right. So here's, this is kind of like a threefold argument, not argument, but just point. All right. If Ring of Honor, as we know it, was not going to be the same when it came back, Matt.
True.
Is that correct?
I agree with that.
The same as what?
As we knew it before. Like, their structure, their contracts, their talent, it wasn't going to be what we knew.
Right. They were very clear about that.
Exactly.
Yeah, and they let pretty much everybody go. I mean, I think only, like, their major championships were going to still be there. But even Roxy lost. I mean, who's the only person that still has a title? Like, Gresham, right?
Oh, Deonna Purrazzo was the Ring of Honor Women's Champion.
Yeah, but Deonna Purrazzo is not a Ring of Honor talent. Like, Roxy was a Ring of Honor talent, but now she's going to WWE.
So my point being that if Tony Khan brings this new vision of Ring of Honor, would it be any worse than what we would have gotten with the comeback? Will they have to strip people of championships if they can't come to agreements? Maybe. But at the end of the day, it's Ring of Honor. Like, Ring of Honor, as we knew it, wasn't coming back. So why would this be any different than what Ring of Honor would become? So this, if anything, with the talent that AEW has on their roster, and I'm sure Tony Khan, we know, is open to bringing people in, if anything, this is the best case scenario for continuing Ring of Honor for me.
Do you think it's just continuing Ring of Honor in name only, the fact that he's making it a developmental? I'm all for the fact that he wants to use it as a developmental system, but do you think that kind of takes away from what Ring of Honor was?
But what was it? Like, you have the opportunity for CM Punk to be on a Ring of Honor show. You have the opportunity of Bryan Danielson to be on a Ring of Honor show because you own it. You have the YouTube space. You have the dark elevation. You have, like, why not have Rampage become Ring of Honor? Why not have Ring of Honor take over an hour of Dynamite every now and then? Like, why?
Because the possibilities
are endless.
Because then Ring of Honor just becomes the name of a television show and not a separate promotion. That's why. If you're going to make Ring of Honor Rampage, it's just AEW with three different letters.
Now, look, he did not outright say that it would be developmental, but if you listen to the media from in a roundabout way, now that could mean a thousand different things. I brought this up Wednesday night on the Mark Werder podcast. He could use it like a territorial system, like Tony was saying. You're not doing anything with FTR. Send FTR to Ring of Honor for 6 months to have a run over there and do the thing. And then you can bring them back to TV when the time is right. You could have people going in between both places. To Kevin's point, Bryan Danielson back in Ring of Honor is huge. CM Punk is going to get people in the building, especially if he's on a ROH branded show.
Jay Lethal is still there. To Tony's point, it wasn't like the announcement wasn't a big deal. It was just that because we don't know enough about what it actually means, it's just different. I have no doubt in my mind that Tony Khan, when he gets behind something, he's gonna get behind it and he's gonna make it work, and he's gonna go full bore to, like, the best that he can. So I really do think that Ring of Honor will be back. I think they will have. I think they'll have television if it's Tony Khan. And
so prior to, I guess it was Tuesday, they announced a couple of added matches to the Supercard of Honor. And they announced that April 10th, they will be doing a TV taping at the 2300 Arena in Philadelphia.
There you go.
Okay.
So now, again, to both of your points, the question is, what is that still going to be on Sinclair channels, or will it be a YouTube show, or will it be something else? I think to both of your points, there are still a lot of questions that have yet to be answered, but I think it's a great thing for for wrestling.
And I agree. I think the announcement for wrestling fans was huge. That's a big freaking announcement.
And I also think it's huge because there's also rumors that it's very possible that AEW is going to have a streaming service and that's going to be on HBO Max.
Yeah.
That's a lot of rumors at this point. I haven't heard anybody that's confirmed that yet.
No. It's under the Time Warner banner. There's still they look, if you need they just got the whole fucking library.
Yeah.
And CM Punk was in like fucking tears last night talking about it. I don't know if you saw it.
The media scrum about Ring of Honor. Yeah, I did see that. But there's no reason not to. I mean, you purchase a library for this exact reason. So
right, and to CM Punk's point, like, look, I've had Honor Club since it came out. It's a fucking nightmare to navigate, an absolute nightmare.
Yeah, and I think we all love the WWE Network format before they went to Peacock. It's a little more aggravating, but it's still worth it. And so, like, if it costs them nothing, so put all these shows on there, because you know what? Hey, if I can get, 25,000, 50,000 more wrestling fans to subscribe to HBO Max to watch Ring of Honor and to watch AEW, why the hell wouldn't you do it? It costs you nothing. So it there's got to be, when there's smoke, there's fire, T-Donk, I think.
Yeah, we'll have to wait and see.
And they now own All Out, finally. They're All In.
Yeah, All In was the first one.
Yeah, right? Now they finally own the rights to that.
Well, there you go.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Don't mind me. I didn't even think about that.
There's a severe thunderstorm warning over here. So if you lose me, it's because the power went out.
Oh, boy. You're that Morris County, man, that Western New Jersey.
Don't worry me, none. I'm not worried. do you guys want to talk a little Vince McMahon? I know.
There's the devil. He jinxed himself.
No, he's there. I think he's having a stroke.
No, I can see my internet. It keeps going down to one.
Yeah, you're getting a little fuzzy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not even like Matt fuzzy, like actual fuzzy.
We're still here though.
That's right.
Can you hear me?
Oh yeah.
What?
All right. Tony, did you watch bits and pieces of the Vince McMahon thing, right?
I watched and listened to the whole thing. There were points where I actually picked up in podcasts and then went back to watching it. Yeah. Anytime Vince McMahon gives an interview, you got to watch it because he doesn't give too many of them.
Nope.
You know, that's the starting point. Pat McAfee runs a weird fucking ship over there, doesn't he? Have you ever seen his podcast or his show, whatever you want to call it?
I've seen bits and pieces. It is interesting.
It's kind of like
$50 million. So he's doing something. Yeah, but right.
It's like, it's almost like him and his boys, and they just have somebody there. It's like weird. It's like a weird dynamic because like then they start doing the going to drink a beer, and they're all going what? The guest just has to kind of sit there and be like, oh, okay, whatever.
That's awesome.
That being said, a little bit of pandering to Vince, which is expected because I wasn't expecting anything really out of the ordinary in terms of questions. It was cool asking him about things like, like making budget cuts, getting rid of talent,
the term he used was dead weight.
Yeah. I mean, creative, things like that. But I mean, look, he didn't say like we got rid of the dead weight. He went through it. He's like, if there's nothing going on creatively, if people don't come to me with ideas, it's like, well, then they become dead weight.
All right. Well, here's the problem. Everything that we hear from anyone that's ever worked there, that's been on this show or any other show, is that they do go to him with ideas and he just can't either commit or it's the creative team's problem. Like that's just like, that's science. That's what it is.
Yeah, but think about it like this. For every person that goes on and does another interview, and I'm not defending Vince McMahon here, but every person that you know of that goes on to another interview that had a miserable time in WWE, there's somebody there like an AJ Styles who signs a new contract, or like a Kevin Owens who decides to stick around, or an Edge who makes his comeback and is making tons of money. You know what I'm saying?
Because they're in a comfy spot that there's no real fear. I mean, people can point out counterexamples to any argument, but because...
there's no real fear. AJ Styles is almost 50 years old, 46, 47, 48, whatever. Why would he go somewhere else? Like, when he just wants to just create the cash cow that he needs right now to bank money for his kids. Like,
oh, I don't think AJ Styles is hurting for money. Don't think like AJ Styles like fucking needs a job. The dude's fucking made money.
No, I agree, but why not get more?
And he's making from all accounts, he's making like Randy Orton money, which is fucking good money. Why would he want to go anywhere else?
Same thing with Kevin Owens. Like it's like any job. You could talk to one coworker who loves where they work, and the next person right next to them will be like, God, this place sucks. Like, they've solidified their spot where, like, no one's going to bother them. No one's going to, no one's going to talk shit about Kevin Owens or AJ Styles. Like, they're just not going to do it. So unless they're truly, truly unhappy, take the money and work.
Excuse me.
Great, great point, Tony.
Gesundheit, T-Donk.
That's my counterpoint. I mean, bottom line is it's an interesting listen. One thing that I didn't really think about, but somebody made a comment about it when he brought up Linda, when he said my then wife, and then he corrected himself. He goes, well, I mean, my wife. So somebody was like, maybe something's going on between Vince and Linda we don't know about, but who knows? That's probably just somebody being a dick. But whatever.
Whatever. But Tony, didn't he want a divorce?
Yeah, of course. And then, of course, they brought up like, bro, you survived your limo exploding and you came back to wrestling the next week. You're fucking awesome.
And then Linda was like, no, I want a divorce.
Well, some takeaways. We're not getting, at least at this point, we're not getting Vince McMahon versus Pat McAfee. Pat McAfee will be wrestling at WrestleMania. It looks like he's wrestling Austin Theory. Yes. Undertaker's being inducted by Vince McMahon. So we got that from the interview.
Goddamn, pal.
And he's not above firing family members. They didn't bring up Shane, but he said that he's got to do what's good for business. So there you go. In a roundabout way, we kind of get that.
I like how he said, we call them, superstars because anyone can be a wrestler.
You know what? It's a fucking good point.
It's a great point.
Can't knock him for that. Wants to set his talent apart. And they brought up the World Wildlife Fund too. Yeah. And he's like, I didn't even know they existed.
Anyone can be an actor, but not everyone can be a movie star.
There you go.
Goddamn, pal.
There you go.
I work out. What do you say? Works out between 1:30 and 3 a.m.?
Yeah. Well, he don't fucking sleep. You know what? He sounded more coherent in this interview. Like, when he's just being himself and he's, like, laughing and having a good time. Like, I know he's a little more soft-spoken than, Mr. McMahon and the way he used to be. He's in his fucking 70s. But you can still see like he's enjoying himself and he's,
Yeah. And he had an easy landing spot. That's what they call it. Like when someone of import does an interview, they tend to go where they know that the person's like, he didn't do another Bob Costas. Like,
no,
interview
of course
on
not.
HBO. So this, he went to somewhere, someone who works for him, who has a great presence in sports and entertainment. And he went to he did that show. And it was the right move.
I think the last interview he did was with Stone Cold, wasn't it? Yes. So there you go. I mean, it's the same, there you go.
They're going fucking all downhill from him, huh?
I guess.
Fucking Bully Ray.
That show, I had such great hopes for this thing on the network, and then it would start off tremendous, and then it's just like, oh, all right, Bailey, okay.
I just the Bailey one I didn't mind. Sasha
Banks. No, but it's just okay. I thought it was going to be more like, I guess I wanted it to be more like the podcast that I listened to or like a shoot interview style stuff. And it just didn't turn out that way. That's shame on me for that, I guess.
Well, I mean, he brought in Jericho,
Yeah.
Don't forget that he had Jericho on.
That's true.
I kind of want to see the Becky Lynch one. And I'm interested. I want to see the Bully Ray one. I'm interested to see what that blowhard has to say.
It's all about the heat, bro. We had the most heat ever.
You mean beef?
I still haven't watched the Ron Simmons one yet.
Hand job.
Damn. Oh, that was a good Ron Simmons. Do I look like a Rosenthal to you? Nobody gets that reference?
Can't say that I
You never heard that story? Mikey Whipwreck told it when he used to be on the Front Row Material.
Johnny Wizards podcast?
No. Well, maybe. Did he ever tell us that story? No. I don't think he did. Where Paul Heyman would just fucking get bereavement tickets for the flights. And,
Oh, yeah. I did hear that
story. And Ron Simmons missed like the Friday show in Florida, but he got there for Saturday because his wife drove him. And he's like, they wouldn't let me on the plane. Do I look like a Rosenthal to you? They wouldn't fucking let him on because the ticket said Rosenthal. Goddamn. Good shit. Well, speaking of good shit, can I ask you guys a question?
Oh, boy.
Do you guys want good shit first or do you want bad shit first?
Matt, give me the bad shit.
All right. We're going to go to the three count for MLW. Love it. I love how Matt knew where I was going. I fucking love it.
Tony, let me ask you a question.
What?
Is MLW slowly like, is this your meh impact?
I think it's getting there. I think it's going back to meh MLW.
Yeah, MLW. Greatest line ever.
All right. So I'm going to start with the bad of MLW first. We got Richard Holiday and Alicia Etoute. Great. I love them together. What I don't love is this fucking bounty bullshit. Because last week, instead of like saying to himself, I could take out Davey Richards on my own and inject myself into the title match, I'm going to open up this Halliburton full of money and give it to whoever can take out Davey Richards. And boy, did they try. Homicide tried. I think Los Parks tried. I think King Muertes even tried. And then hell's bells. Alexander Hammerstone comes and helps Davey Richards fight these guys all off because he wants the title match to be fair and square. Yuck. Why couldn't they just have fucking Holiday sitting and waiting and biding his time and challenge the winner of this fucking match and get what's due to him? I don't know. I don't get it. Worse than that, look, I like Calvin Tankman. Mm. When I said he was making an impression on me, I thought he had a world of talent. He just needs to be a little more seasoned. I sort of feel the same way about Alex Kane. I think he needs a little bit more work, but I do like the gimmick that he's a fighter and the whole Beaumaye and all this and that. Bro, putting these two in the ring together with no fucking sense of direction. Ugh. Terrible. That big dude on the outside fucking works over Tankman's leg behind the referee's back and the referee calls off the match. And then they start the match up again anyway. What the fuck are we doing? What are we doing? This was fucking dog shit, dude. This was so... You agree. You're laughing because you agree.
It was I didn't watch it.
We didn't watch it.
And I think the only reason they stopped the match in the middle is so they could show us more footage backstage of Davey Richards being accosted by like all these wrestlers. And dude, he fought with Homicide for like 4 minutes in the back and all they kept doing was throwing each other into the wall. It's like, what the fuck are we doing? What are we doing?
That's a question only you can answer, Tony.
The only thing that was good, and this is the third part of the three count, we got the four-way return match for the middleweight championship. I was going to say cruiserweight. Tajiri comes back from Japan and defends against Myron Reed, Matt Cross, and the fourth mystery guest was Bandido. How's that for a four-way? That's pretty impressive.
That's actually pretty radical.
I bet you this was awesome.
It was actually a really good match, and the finish came where Matt Cross was going for his like flip-de-doo off the top rope to finish the match, and Myra Reed jumps up and hits him with a cutter. 1, 2, 3. You're 3-time MLW middleweight champion, Myron Reed. How awesome is that?
I dig.
Myra Reed's the young goat. Even though I hate the word goat, he is the young goat. That's all you need to know.
You like hate the word goat or what goat stands for?
No, I just hate the word goat. I just don't like it. It sounds
so
like
in all its forms, you hate the word
goat. So you'd be angry if someone was like, have some goat cheese?
Yeah.
No. I hate when they want to call somebody like the best. They use the word goat. Why not just say they're the fucking best or they're the greatest? Why do you have to say goat?
Lisa said, try watching it live.
Well, that you bought the ticket, sweetie. What do you want me to tell you? Sorry.
Oh,
and I'm sorry. You know what?
Lisa coming in with the fire.
In fairness, all right. You know what? There was a 3A with this, and I put this in the Discord. I have to mention this. I know it's a fourth point technically. 5150 cut a great promo about the Von Erichs, and I'm glad Lisa popped in because I know Lisa wanted to see the Von Erichs beat 5150. But they're gonna get their match. I forget where the next show is, but whatever. 5150, they cut a killer promo. They didn't say fuck. They didn't say shit. They didn't curse. It was fucking fantastic. This was the kind of promo that they needed to cut, and it fucking covered everything. How they weren't third generation, second generation. They were from the street. They were first generation. They did it all themselves. They were like DIY. It was great. Great promo from 5150. Great promo. Sorry. I know it was a fourth point, but since Lisa chimed in, I had to bring it up.
It's okay. It's okay.
But those other fucking fucking Kane and Tankman, ugh. Bad. Right,
now to the good, Tony.
The good? Beautiful. Dude, there was so much good in the NWA this week. I couldn't figure out which three I wanted to go with. But all three came from Power this week. We're not even touching USA. USA had a lot of good shit on it, too. But in the first spot, we got the Pope making his return against Mike Knox. And the Pope got a little overzealous, and he got caught going into the corner, and it fucking cost him the match. Dude, Mike Knox beat the Pope. This was supposed to be the Pope's big coming back party, coming out party. He was going to start mowing everybody down, and he got a little too overzealous, and he fucking blew it. Mike Knox, your winner. Next point, Billy Corgan, my good buddy Willie, comes out. We're getting the OGK and the Fixers, and it was supposed to be a false count anywhere, weapons, brawls match, and Billy's like, you know what? I'm doing something for you fans here tonight. We're going to make this an opening round match in the Crockett Cup tournament. So that means we're going under regular rules. And bam, the Fixers defeated the OGK in a fucking great match. I love this match, dude. The Fixers are really growing on me. OGK is OGK. But these guys worked so well together, so much better than it had any right to be. And the Fixers move on to the second round. What a surprise my boy Billy bringing out. Come on.
There you go.
Matt,
boy, Billy. Yo,
number one on the list, the last of the three counts. We've got a brand new national champion. Chris Adonis defending against the former Crimson, Anthony Mayweather, who's been under fire for not winning matches, who had Nick Aldis tell him to fucking pull up his bootstraps and get to winning, get your head right, get in the game. And boy, did he ever. He broke the master lock, and he rolled up Chris Adonis for the 1-2-3.
Oh.
Another excellent match. Bro, NWA Power was the show to watch this week if you were watching an hour of wrestling. And I didn't even touch on the shit that went on USA. We had a great dude. Ricky Morton took on Austin Aries. Fantastic match. I mean, I get it. Ricky Morton's like 60 years old, but they had a great match. Mae Valentine was making her wrestling debut against Martina Kornikova, whatever the hell her name is. Dude, good shit all around. Good shit. Medusa made an appearance. Kenzie Page made an appearance. But it was good for the NWA all around.
Now, Tony, let me ask you a question.
Yes?
Do you think it's good for Nick Aldis that JERRET is the special guest referee?
You know what? Jeff Jarrett's been fair. He's been back for the NWA like main event matches before. He was there when Nick Aldis wrestled Cody for the rematch. So like he's been around. I'm not worried about it. Here's what does concern me though. We've had so much stuff go on with the tapings. We've had 10 pounds of gold. We already know that Matt Cardona's the NWA champion. Why would they be hiding this fact on their weekly shows? Why are we getting 10 pounds of gold on YouTube? Why are we getting announcements that Cardona's defending against Nick Aldis at the Crockett Cup? And we haven't even gotten this match on television yet. We haven't even gotten mention of it. Like, it just doesn't make sense. Like, did they forget? Are they trying to hide it? Or
didn't they end Power with a hype video for this match next week?
Yeah, but we don't. For what? The title match?
Yeah, for Murdoch and Cardona.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
Okay, then why didn't they have this match weeks ago, now that they've been talking about Nick Aldis and Cardona with the 10 pounds of gold? You know what I'm saying? There's overlap. Like, Cardona's already the champ, but we're getting the match next week?
Because I guess he has such a following, Matt Cardona, that to have him win the title and put it out there on social media, you're going to get more eyes on the NWA. And maybe the NWA was like, let's not tell people when the match is, so maybe they'll watch on YouTube.
Fair enough, but it's just announce it. It's just, you know, weird. Like,
I bet you next week, and I don't know how it works with Fight, but I know it comes out, what, Friday on YouTube for free, right? I bet you those numbers are huge to watch him beat Murdoch.
I mean, could be. It's just weird that they keep announcing, you know, the all this Cardona match, and we haven't gotten there yet in the stories.
That's what happens when you teep. You pre-tape, right?
I get pre-teeps, yes.
Pre-teeps.
But NWA was fucking excellent TV this week. Excellent.
There you go. Let me hit you guys with a little bit of this really fast before I get into my three count. Breaking news, guys. I got two things for you.
Oh,
RK
shit.
Bro is the new tag team champions.
Oh, for the third time?
Delightful.
And apparently Becky Lynch is on the shelf because she has a fractured voice box.
Yep, I saw that earlier.
Oh, that doesn't sound good at all.
She was at a house show last night in Allentown where she injured her voice box. There's a picture of her on her Instagram. She looks awful. She does not look like she's having a good time here.
No, she said she will be back for WrestleMania, though.
She did say that. She will be back for Wrestling Mania.
The Wrestling Mania.
Yes.
You know, Gene Mean, we're going to the... Oh, fuck. We're going to the Wrestling Mania.
Just hurt yourself doing the Iron Sheik?
No, I fucking... I love my son. But yesterday was time to get back to DDP day for the fourth day in a row, and I broke the streak today. And I'm going through the workouts, and I want to pick one that's going to challenge me, but I'm not going to hurt myself. And he goes, why don't you do the 100 push-up challenge? We're going to say no. A little sore today.
How many did you do?
105.
That's 100.
Not in a row. It's over the course of a half an hour workout, but it's all melded in and baked in and whatnot.
Let me hit this New Japan. Now, Tony, if you listen to the interview with Carl Fredericks, I kind of lost my mind for a few minutes.
Yeah, I caught that part.
You caught that part. All right. At the House of Torture can straight fuck off.
Yep.
Okay. I've been watching the New Japan Cup. It's one of my favorite parts of the year. I'm all caught up. Bigger field, but a couple things. The Shingo Big Tom match from today, or last night, or whenever, is fucking awesome. And it's an absolute banger. Go out of your way to watch that. These guys beat the dog shit out of each other. It was fantastic. Okada and El Desperado was a really good match from night one, too. And I just thought it was fun to see Sima take on Taka Michinoku in the first round.
Nice. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, so the second round starts on the 9th, Wednesday.
Yeah.
So I'm excited for that. Master Wato against Okada. Tai Chi gets a bye, my man, because he's the greatest.
No, I thought Tai Chi was supposed to wrestle somebody and they got hurt.
He was supposed to wrestle Tenzan, but Tenzan got hurt, so he has a bye.
There you go.
So he rocks. Hiroki Goto is going to destroy Dick to Go.
I hope so.
Sima versus Kanemura. I would love to go through the whole brackets, but we don't have a million hours. But New Japan is crushing it, and you know, I couldn't put it over enough. Carl Fredericks and Christopher Daniels from New Japan Strong was fucking awesome. So that's what's going on in New Japan right now. So some real good stuff there.
Is my fuckboy on the mend? Is he coming back soon?
He's not in the tournament, but they haven't announced what he will be doing post tournament.
Okay. All right. I'm worried about him.
We'll have to see. You should be worried about him.
Yeah.
Three count for the WWE guys. We got the great announcement today. Vader is going into the Hall of Fame.
Well, it's Tom!
Former guest of the show. Matt, you love Vader. You miss him very dearly, right?
I do like Vader. Vader was an interesting character to deal with, but in a wrestling aspect, this is a great call. So yeah. I'm not against this. I love this.
Don't worry, Matt. I know we don't get Vader time anymore, but we still get Vader time on a little bit NWA. Fuck.
WWE and A&E have announced,
I had a stroke and gave it to Matt.
Have announced a multi-year extension, which will see more than 130 new hours of WWE themed programming on A&E.
Let's get that Vlad doc out there.
Yeah, please. My God, what's taking so long?
So we have that going on. And it looks like the WrestleMania is coming into view. What's been announced so far?
WrestleMania. Oh,
I tell you guys, Christian Rocco in the chat, he says long overdue on Vader. We got t-shirts from Christian.
Nice. Well, you got Christian. T-shirts from Christian.
Yeah, I have them over on my desk. But he sent them for all of us, so.
That's right.
Thank you, Mr. Rocco. Louis Rocco.
So WrestleMania Night 1 looks like Charlotte and Ronda.
Yep.
Becky and Bianca. The Mysterios against The Miz and Logan Paul. Drew McIntyre against Happy Corbin.
Mm. Oh, again?
Night 2, winner takes all. Brock versus Roman. AJ versus Edge. Carmella and Zelina Vega against Sasha Banks and Naomi. And Pat McAfee against Austin Theory.
Okay. That's a mania. That's a WrestleMania in 2022.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
I'm about half and half on that.
So mark your calendars, people.
Yes.
And I think the only one that was confirmed for night two was Brock and Roman. And maybe, and I don't know if they've determined the rest yet. I think they added
Sunday is Pat and Austin. I know that for sure.
And I think they're adding Sami Zayn against Johnny Knoxville because Johnny Knoxville helped Ricochet beat Sami Zayn for the Intercontinental Championship the other night.
Oh shit! We didn't talk about we got a new U.S. champion too, Finn Balor.
Eggplant.
That's right. That's so right. we might have a Damian Priest Eggplant rematch at Mania.
Sure, we will.
Sign me up. People are
I wouldn't be against that.
I'm not. All right. I'm not against it. You know what time it is.
It's velvet time.
It's late. It's late time.
Time for Kevin's top five, baby.
Woo! We got there, people. We got there. A lot of fun tonight on the show, but it doesn't get much more fun than Kevin's top five. And boys, I got a doozy for you tonight. This is my top five title changes, unexpected title changes on Monday Night Raw. But there's a caveat.
Uh-oh.
None of them are Money in the Bank cash-ins. So if you thought that I would go with The Miz cashing in on Randy Orton or Dolph Ziggler cashing in on Alberto Del Rio, no. No cash-ins, but the top five title changes on Raw.
Can I go first?
T-Dunk, rock sure. on.
Let's go for Mankind winning the WWE Championship.
Yes, I figured that would be the first guess from either one of you, and I figured that you would probably think it's number one, but it's not.
Okay.
It is number two. Mick Foley beats Triple H on January 4th, 1999. Lots of tomfoolery. He beats The Rock. There's DX involved. Stone Cold Steve Austin's involved. The McMahons are involved. So that is number two. Mick Foley, January 4th, 1999, wins his first World Championship.
Kev, I'm just happy I made it on the list.
Yeah, because you might be the last one.
Thanks.
Psycho Sid beating Bret Hart in 1997.
Matt?
Yeah.
Let's see here. Thought about it.
Oh!
And Matt, that's number four.
Wait, what? Whoa, he fooled us!
Because Matt, this just like our Patreon exclusive top five WrestleMania matches, there was a lot of flip flopping. This one made it. Sid defeats Bret Hart the night after Bret Hart wins the World Championship at Final Four on February 16th. Sid wins on February 17th, thanks to Stone Cold Steve Austin with a chair shot. So that is number four, Sid defeating Bret Hart February 17th, 1997.
I don't know if Kevin will go for this, but it seems like something that he would pick as out of the ordinary. I'm going to go Marty Jannetty beat Shawn Michaels for the IC title.
Tony, you familiar with a bell that you have right in front of you, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you might want to ring that. All right, so Tony, May 17th, 1993. Shawn Michaels is very verbose. He challenges anyone, anywhere, anytime, any place. Vinnie Mac's in the ring. He tells him to shut his clam. And then, out of nowhere, guy, jean shorts, pullover sweatshirt, sunglasses, hat, hood,
comes out. It's Marty Jannetty. He accepts the challenge. Are you a man of your word, Shawn Michaels? Are you a man of your word? Mr. Perfect throws the towel in the face of Shawn Michaels. Marty Jannetty rolls them up. 1, 2, 3. You're a new Intercontinental Champion. Marty Jannetty on May 17th, 1993 on Raw. T-Donk, well done.
What number was it?
A 3, I said.
Oh, did he?
All right, so it's 2, 3, 4.
You have 5. 5 and 1, I think.
Yeah,
you have 2, 3, 4. Yes, you have 5 and 1. Yes,
2, 3, 4. Austin beating Kane the night after King of the Ring.
No, we all saw that coming.
And it's not Cashin's. See, I don't know if you would count this one because I know it was kind of wiped.
They all count.
All right, let's go with Chris Jericho beating Triple H. Fast count.
No, that doesn't count.
All right, well.
And was that a Raw or was that a SmackDown?
I thought it was a Raw, wasn't it?
It could be a Raw.
I could be completely wrong.
No, I didn't think about it because I know he didn't end up winning. So, no, it doesn't count.
Oh, boy.
You guys might not get number one, which is.
Was Razor Ramon beating Rick Martel?
No, that wasn't really a title change. That was a title held up.
Okay.
So it was vacant, right, Nelly? Nelly gets it.
Okay, so that would eliminate that one too, right?
What one?
Bulldog and Owen for the European title?
That would negate that as well.
Okay.
I will say, I mean, if it goes long, I'll give hints, but just let me know when you guys are struggling.
I see. I don't know if you'd put the Miz up there losing to Rey Mysterio. I don't know if you'd take John Cena losing to beating the Rey Mysterio after that.
No.
That was actually
a big night, so that's not terrible. But no, it's
John Cena beating Rey Mysterio.
Yeah, after Rey Mysterio beat. Yeah, that's not a terrible guess, and that probably would have made it at some point if I thought about it.
Let me ask a hint. Are the matches on the list like WWE championship matches or
I'll tell you that. But this is gonna you'll get number one.
Oh yeah, I see it.
I will tell you this.
Is RVD Eddie Guerrero IC ladder match on there?
No. I will tell you this. One person in one of these matches has already been mentioned. And
is Rocky Maivia beating Triple H for the IC title on there?
No, Matt, that one got cut for Sid and Brett.
Okay.
Didn't Triple H beat Rocky Maivia early on for the IC title on Raw?
No, Rocky beat Triple H, and then Owen beat Rocky.
And no, but
you're thinking Triple H Mark Mero.
That's what I was thinking.
And that was Mr. Perfect turning heel on
faking an injury in the back so he couldn't wrestle. Yeah. Fuck.
Wow, you guys are there's no chance you get number one then.
Triple H beat the Big Show?
Yeah, no, not there. I think once you guys hear these, you'll know that why they're there. And Triple H hadn't been mentioned yet, so if you're going that direction, then
Austin Angle?
Nope. All right, so one. All right, I'll give the belts, tag titles, and Divas Championship.
Oh God!
And one person has already been named. So there you go. That's a whole lot of hints, but not in the correct order.
Tag titles.
I'm actually really shocked that Matt, you haven't gotten this one yet, to be honest.
Is it Lita and Trish?
No, I don't think that was a title. I don't think there was a title change there. If there was, it wouldn't be surprising either way.
Tag titles.
I've
already mentioned the guy. I've already mentioned him.
The guy?
Well, it's, you know, we've mentioned him.
Oh, fuck. It's Marty Jannetty and the kid and the fucking smoking guns.
Nope, that's kind of correct, but not correct.
The Head Shrinkers?
Nope.
No, wait.
Bam Bam Tatanka was Rumble, right?
I mean, Tony got one of the teams right.
Smoking Guns, Owen and Yoko?
Nope. No, I mean, he got... Matt, so think about this. I already mentioned him once. The team is right, but the team that they beat is wrong. Haven't mentioned the team that they beat.
The 1-2-3 Kid and Marty Jannetty against the Quebecers.
There you go. January 10th, 1994, number 5. Big to do. No one saw it coming. They end up losing the belt like Marty Jannetty tends to do when he wins a championship, loses it in the next week, either at a house show or another taping, and they did. So, but 1-2-3 Kid and Marty Jannetty beat the Quebecers January 10th, 1994 on Monday Night Raw. Macho Man was very happy for them.
And okay. So number one is
a number Divas one
title change.
Number one is a Divas.
It wasn't Paige's debut defeating AJ Lee.
Tony, how's that bell working out for you? Paige in her Paige in her first appearance, as far as my research went, her first appearance on Monday Night Raw as I don't know if she had the belt on her, but she was the NXT champion at the time, the first ever NXT Women's Champion. Paige beats AJ Lee in her debut on April 7th, 2014. I just think the parameters of the match, her being the NXT champion, it's her first appearance. That's just number one worthy for me. Paige, AJ Lee. So to recap, number 5, 1-2-3 Kid and Marty Jannetty beat the Quebecers for the Tag Team Championships on January 10th, 1994. Psycho Sid defeats Bret Hart on February 17th, 1997 for the WWE Championship. Number 3, Marty Jannetty surprises Shawn Michaels and with the help of Mr. Perfect defeats him for the Intercontinental Championship on May 17th, 1993. Number 2, Mick Foley, that'll put some butts in the seats, beats Triple H. No, he beats The Rock. I'm sorry. I had him beating Triple H. He actually beat The Rock, and Triple H was there with DX. January 4th, 1999, Paige defeats AJ Lee as number one for the Divas Championship on April 7th, 2014. Some shocking ones, boys.
I liked it. Good list. Really good list.
Great, great list, Kevin. Thank you so much. Just a friendly reminder. Tony hates guests.
That's right. Very good point.
And it's about that time for us to be going home.
Oh, shit. Yeah. Today? Really?
I wasn't in the itinerary in the text.
Oh, okay.
I wasn't sure if we actually committed to it.
Going home is coming back, and that's a little thing we were doing back in the day when we were getting together in studio shows. So we would pick just a little snippet to talk about before we went home. I have one for you.
Okay.
MMA, WWE, superstar, wrestler, whatever you want to call him, Cain Velasquez. He is currently...
He is not going home.
He's being held without bail. Yeah, he was arrested for a attempted murder. He found out that someone in his family was being abused, like a very young child being abused by a very older man. And, he decided to take matters into his own hands, and he followed this person and his stepfather for about 10 miles on a high-speed chase, and then stuck a gun in the car and shot the stepfather in the leg, I believe.
Yeah.
And then he was arrested, and he was being held without bail. Obviously, I think a lot of people can relate to this because they would probably want to do the same thing. Yep. But that's what the police are there for, or supposed to be there for. Yep. It's just a terrible story, a terrible situation. He had a cup of coffee in the WWE, did some stuff in AAA, UFC legend, and looks like he's going to be spending a little time in the clink. Again,
there's no way he's getting convicted. There's no way a jury's finding him guilty of anything. Come on.
It all depends on how good the prosecutor is, Tony. You know that. If he can really paint it that he had really no discretion in doing this, then he's going to, like, he went out of his way. He'll probably get a lighter
he'll probably plead out to something, but unless he wants to go to trial.
The worst part was the reason why the guy was in the vehicle with his stepfather was because they were going to get an ankle bracelet or some shit because he was under house arrest.
Yeah, but you still can't. I mean, I get it, but I would. Yeah, again, we would all do the same thing.
There's got to be a point, though, when you're chasing somebody for 10 fucking miles on the highway that, like, you've got to have a moment where it's like, what the fuck am I doing?
Yeah.
And then you just power through it to keep going. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. It just stinks that the guy got let go when he was arrested. He got let go. Mm-hmm. He was just released. Because, you know what? I don't want to get political here, but bail reform is terrible. But
anyway, 100%. 100%.
Yeah, that's it. But...
Which is the funny thing, because now this guy molested a kid, and he's out, and yeah. Cain Velasquez...
killed like one wanted to shoot the guy that did it, and he's gonna be
yep. And he's being held. So
Matt, I gotta going home, by the way.
You guys all are right killing me.
My going home, we talked about Vader being inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame. Why don't we talk about a friend of the show, past guest, being inducted into the Ring of Honor Hall of Fame? It was announced that Carrie Silken will be inducted into the Ring of Honor Hall of Fame, joining Brian Danielson, Samoa Joe, the Briscoes, and that's all I know so far. But Kerry Silken, a hell of a guy, hell of a guest, hell of an entertainer.
CM
fun,
Punk.
Fun talk. I wasn't sure if CM Punk was 100% announced, if it was. So CM Punk, I missed that one. But yeah, but Kerry Silken is right there with the Punkster, and he's a heck of a guy and a fun talk. So there you go. Congrats, Kerry Silken.
I got it going home.
Oh, boy.
It's good night, Gracie, isn't it?
You fuck! Oh, I hate you.
Like a book, D-Doc.
Like, subscribe, rate, review, 5 stars on all the social medias at Wizards Podcast, on all the podcast platforms, on the social media platforms where you're listening and watching us right now. Why not? We deserve it, right? Otherwise, you wouldn't have stood around for 2 hours and 51 minutes and 19 seconds. Jesus, this was a long show.
So much for this.
Well, look, man, Carl Fredericks was an amazing guest. Please be sure to follow him, Carl Fredericks _ Twitter and Instagram. Check him out on New Japan Strong. Man, we talked to him for almost an hour, and we talked about a ton of shit.
It was awesome.
It was awesome. Next week, we'll be back. Anthony Henry, he will be joining us. We're going to be doing a little Wizards Rewind. WCW Uncensored 99 is...
No, it wasn't Uncensored, was it? Super Brawl.
Well, it was WCW Uncensored.
Flair Hogan in the cage?
WCW Uncensored 99.
Beautiful. I knew that.
So we talked.
I think Kevin picked it, didn't he?
I did pick it, but I didn't think it. Oh, all right. Yeah, all right. Look at that. What are you going to do?
We'll be talking, do a little Wizards Rewind with that next week. Anthony Henry next week, formerly of NXT. You know him from Evolve. He was teaming with JD Drake. Great talent. He'll be joining us.
Jake Something's a free agent.
Who?
Jake Something.
Jake Something is a free agent.
There you go. There you go home, baby.
So, like Tony said, rate, review, subscribe, wherever you're listening to the podcast. If you're watching us on YouTube, please subscribe, leave a comment, and we'll be back next week with another exciting edition of the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast.
Oh, shit. I got it going home, and it's not Goodnight Gracie. James Rolfe, a.k.a. the Angry Video Game Nerd, posted a picture of himself with a Miko Mania t-shirt. That's pretty fucking cool.
All right. There you
go. Good night, Gracie. You fuckers. Good night.